866-495. Call 866-794-6495.
Not available in California, Minnesota, Nebraska, Virginia, Oklahoma, or Washington, D.C. Certain restrictions apply to guarantee. Call for details.
You're listening to 1190 WLIV New York, the flagship station of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The holy city of Najaf was a scene of more deadly violence overnight, stemming from clashes between U.S. troops and Shia militiamen loyal to Muqtada al-Sadr. There were no immediate reports of casualties. Residents say militants fired rocket-propelled grenades and mortars during the 3 hours of clashes that ended around dawn. In Karbala, the Polish command says a coalition base came under mortar fire. Demolition teams also defused three roadside bombs in that area. Great Britain is painting a different picture this morning when it comes to the issue of sovereignty in Iraq. Prime Minister Tony Blair said that an interim government running the nation from July 1st will have the final political control over the foreign troops. That's in sharp contrast from the picture President Bush has described.
It is a political decision as to whether you go into a place like Fallujah in a particular way that has to be done with the consent of the Iraqi government. And the final political control remains with the Iraqi government. And the issue of our troops remaining after then is an issue of necessity.
Tony Blair, Bush's strongest European ally, said Tuesday that if there's a political decision, as he just mentioned, as to whether to go into Fallujah in a particular way, that must receive the consent of the Iraqi government. Blair was making a reference to recent American attacks on rebels in that particular city. Speaking of Fallujah, Fallujah is beginning to resemble an Islamic mini-state, with U.S. Marines and central government control non-existent. Reports say that anyone caught selling alcohol in the streets is immediately flogged and paraded through the city. Men have been encouraged to grow beards, and barbers have been warned against giving Western-style haircuts. A Muslim cleric, Abdul Qader al-Alusi, says that after all the blood that was shed and the lives that were lost in Fallujah, inhabitants will only accept God's law now. Cleric says, quote, "We must capitalize on our victory over the Americans and implement Islamic laws." President Bush Tuesday sought international support for the transfer of power in Iraq on the heels of a 30-minute address in the issue Monday night. Bush said yesterday that European leaders who oppose the war now share the same goal of a budding democracy. Bush took time out Tuesday to make contact with French President Jacques Chirac to win his support for the transition. Bush said that Chirac wants to make sure that the transfer of sovereignty to the interim government is a real one. And the president has his work cut out for him if he's willing to show up his support from voters in Ohio. The state is one of the hardest hit by the struggling economy. According to a report, the town of Wooster, Ohio, will be a tough sell for Bush because of one company responsible for its growth is now leaving. This not to mention the cutback in government services and hundreds of residents facing uncertain futures on the unemployment line. Rubbermaid factory in Wooster had been a fixture for 80 years, employing as many as 25,000 people at one time. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Today, 5 on Channel 7 Eyewitness News. Spray-on pantyhose. Does this stuff work? Eyewitness News gets the best legs in town to test it out for you. Plus at 5, how to be a cool parent. Eyewitness News just found some great summer activities you can do with your kids. Plus at 6, Fleet Week is here, and security is a huge concern. Eyewitness News details new security measures you should be aware of. It all starts with Diana Williams, Sade Veteran-Waugh, and Sam Champion with the AccuWeather Forecast. Today at 5, only on ABC 7.
An all-new Oprah. For the first time in 10 years, singer George Michael goes public.
You gotta tell us what happened.
The humiliating arrest.
Arrested for a lewd act.
Okay, this is absolutely what happened.
The fall from fame. The life he hid.
I just plummeted into deep, deep depression.
George Michael.
Oh my God, why didn't I just sit with a journalist and say I am gay?
Next Oprah.
Today at 4, only on ABC 7. Followed by Eyewitness News at 5.
If you want to find a ceiling fan so comforting it inspires afternoon naps, and so exciting it energizes the entire room, you can. If you want to find a fan practical enough to make you feel cool, and stylish enough to make you look cool, you can. At the Home Depot, you can find the largest selection of stylish ceiling fans anywhere. More than 100 quiet, high-performance styles, all at our unbeatable low prices. And only the Home Depot has the best-selling ceiling fans, Hampton Bay. Exclusive designs from Hunter and Energy Star-rated fans. with knowledgeable associates who can help you decide on the fan that fits your room as perfectly as it fits your tastes, the Home Depot is the one place more people trust than any other for ceiling fans. Which means you can rest assured we'll make your experience as refreshing as the fans themselves. The Home Depot. You can do it, we can help.
Federal College loan rates are currently lower than they have ever been, which means by refinancing now, you could cut your monthly student loan payment by up to 50%. By calling 1-800-2-COLLEGE, you'll quickly be connected to College Loan Corporation. We will answer your questions, help you lower your payments, and secure a rate as low as 2.63%. It's easy, it's free, and so far, over 300,000 people have called. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Unfiltered.
If Bush's numbers go down and Kerry's don't go up, to me that just says total disenfranchisement.
Liz Winstead, Chuck D, and Rachel Maddow.
Everybody's going to sit on their hands. Nobody's going to vote.
Yeah, that's a sad story. Like the same 43% tired old Democrats going to get out there and vote for Kerry.
Well, you know what? Nobody would be happier than George W. and Karl Rove if they suppressed voter turnout by doing a completely negative election.
Unfiltered on Air America Radio.
Hey, I'm Mark Maron with Stu Ellicott and Mark Riley here on Air America Radio. It's 6 minutes past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Today, the presidential Palm Pilot's warming up, along with the fax machine for today's liberal agenda, plus the Catholic Church pays the wages of sin. Huh. But right now, it's morning. I'm here with Mark Riley and Stu Ellicott in our luxurious studios. In a space shuttle flying above the planet. How's everybody doing?
Well, you'll be very sorry to hear that the wheel broke on my scooter.
The wheel broke on Sue's scooter?
Exactly.
How did you ever
stop the presses.
Get to work?
Cab.
Oh.
But I can't get home very fast.
So what are you going to do, buy a new scooter, Sue?
I did think that maybe I would try to replace the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that you would be interested in the my transport travails of the morning. I think
it's
the
so.
New York potholes.
Uh-huh.
And I hope I don't have to replace the entire scooter. I can just unbolt the wheel and get a replacement. I'll let you know if I can get one in London this weekend.
You have to go to London and get a scooter wheel? Don't they have, should be able to get a metric scooter wheel?
It's a European scooter. Good point. I could try on the website, I suppose. But I'm going anyway. I wasn't going to make a special trip for a wheel.
Oh, okay. And Riley, you all right? Did we get all set? How are you coming?
We're all set now. Coming through loud and clear, I think.
Dude, I'm reading this stuff. 18,000. 18,000, apparently. There's been a report out.
That's right.
18,000 Al-Qaeda operatives spread out throughout the world, throughout 60 countries. You know, it just seems to me that for our president, the dude who's, like, tough on terror, he only seems to have rattled the hornet's nest, and now it's, like, spread all over the world because of his decisions. And, you know, I was just starting to I'm the kind of person, I'll give people the benefit of the doubt, you know what I mean, which means that I'll give them an opportunity to like me for a few minutes.
Uh-huh.
And
then you go for the Nick.
Well, no, now I live in Queens, man. You know, and I'm prone to fear anyways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's a lot of Muslim people in Queens, of Pakistani, Egyptian, all sorts of descent, you know, all sorts of people from all different places.
And most of them are peace-loving, tolerant.
Absolutely. Most of them are scared of Marin.
Yeah.
No one's scared of me. But, I mean, I think that, you know, I believe that's true, that most of them are peace-loving, and they're all good people. But when I get scared, when reports like this come out, all of a sudden I'm like, oh, no. I wonder if Muhammad across the hall is cool. And you can't, you know, you can't really go up and go, dude, is this a cell? Be honest with me. Is it a cell?
Yeah, right.
You know, but
like he's going to tell you.
I know, but it makes me crazy because now I've got to not so much fight it, but you've got to sort of, like, balance, you know, fear and reality because this does provoke fear. 18,000, you know, active terrorists. This is what they're telling us.
Mm-hmm.
And in my head, you know, I know, like, that, you know, Bush is partially, or if not wholly responsible for the spread of terrorism on this level because of his policies. But, like, on a personal level, I get freaked out. I don't want to, like, wake up one morning and have a radiation attack. I don't want a dirty bomb to blow up in New York. I don't want, you know, walk through life, you know, with that type of fear. So I have to manage that and believe that people are still decent, loving people.
But before we go any further, Maron, go ahead and say it, because I know you want to.
What?
Go Go ahead.
What about?
Say I told you so.
I did tell you so. The terrorist manufacturing plant spreading terrorism globally, worldwide. Like, there was no connection between Iraq and terrorism. Zarqawi, they let him go three times in order to politicize the war, to make the war happen. That was their only connection, and now they've got this situation. They haven't killed Osama bin Laden. Afghanistan is now producing more terrorists than it ever has. All the terrorist-producing franchises are now up and operating, and they've done nothing to stop the spread of terrorism.
Now, of course, Zarqawi was the guy who many believe was the person who executed Nicholas Berg in that video, so that people know he's supposed to be a close ally or, depending on which intelligence agency you talk to, a rival of Osama bin Laden. I'm not quite sure which one is which. Now, the International Institute of Strategic Studies, IISS, most Americans probably don't know much about them. They are based in London. They are an independent think tank, and they've just done an annual survey of world affairs. And that 18,000 number of al-Qaeda operatives or potential terrorists scattered throughout the world comes from their study, the annual study of world affairs. And as Marc Maron has been pointing out for the better part of a week, it looks as though the war on terror in both Afghanistan and Iraq has helped spread the growth of al-Qaeda rather than squashing it or squelching that growth.
I would say that George Bush did his part in his speech just on Monday evening to the Army College when he said that, you know, terrorists want to see, what did he say? He said that terrorists want to see the, you know, they don't want to save the lives of any Iraqis. They want to see, you know, deaths of more Iraqis rather than they would see peace to come to all Iraqis or democracy come to all Iraqis. It's just fanning the flames. That's an utter kind of twisting of the facts. I mean, there's not a lot of evidence that the terrorists are kind of, you know, single-mindedly set on, you know, killing Iraqis more than they want, you know, democracy in Iraq. What they want is the United States-led coalition out of Iraq. I mean, it was definitely a manipulation of the facts. It's not surprising that this think tank has come up with 18,000 potential terrorists.
In
60 different countries.
60 different countries.
But he said in his speech, he said he and other terrorists, as Zarqawi, know that Iraq is now the central front in the war on terrorism. Terrorism central, thanks to his policies. We now have a focus, but now 60 other countries, they've networked through 60 other countries. Osama bin Laden is still supposed to be, you know, dispatching orders. They never got that guy. The whole thing is suspect to me in the sense that I was talking about yesterday, is that it almost seems that they wanted to have this in place. Not, it's like the new Russia, but it's not as focused as Russia. There are no national boundaries, or it's very nebulous, and it could go on for eternity. Now that the war on terrorism is established, that, you know, there are 60 countries, there are 18,000 operatives, we don't know where they are. He has done nothing to make the world safer. If he has done anything, it's to make it a more chaotic place and to promote anxiety and fear in every individual on this planet. And this is directly because of our president's actions.
Now, remember, too, that this report says that some of these 18,000 are out looking for weapons of mass destruction. Now, I, for one, would be very curious to know how one shops for weapons of mass destruction on the open market, just because I'd like to know how that happens.
When you said out looking, I thought, why would they be trying to help out George Bush by proving there was some there? When you meant looking,
they want to buy some for themselves. Absolutely. Okay. They want to use them on targets here in the United States and in Europe.
I'm going to see if I can. I'm going to go on eBay.
Well, there was a report this morning, I think, saying that they'd found that they'd confirmed that was sarin in that bomb at the roadside.
Sorry, yeah.
Mark, you finding any on the computer over there?
No. I'll go there later. Check it out. I was just wondering if you could get them on eBay. You can get them anywhere. Maybe there's bazaars of weapons of mass destruction. Was that sarin missile? Was that something left over? It wasn't. Sarin, was it left over?
They don't know.
They
don't know. Even though they confirmed it was sarin, even when they first detected it in the bomb week before, they said it didn't actually really mean anything. It didn't mean that there was a larger cache of the biological weapons anywhere.
But
and
really,
the fact that the bombers could have just used it without knowing that they had it.
But it was traces, right?
You know,
it wasn't a loaded
biological warhead. It was something that could have been, it could have dissipated. It might have been on it 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. They don't know what it is.
Plus, I mean, you really do have to ask yourself, where is the delivery system for this thing? Now, you know, when there were people before the war started that said that even if Saddam did have weapons of mass destruction, he had no way of getting them, perhaps the distance from here to New Haven. So the bottom line is, and I'm talking about from New York City to New Haven, which is about 70 miles.
Right.
He had no way to deliver them. So even if this was an intact sarin bomb, right, how would he get it any place?
But the biological weapons, though they were weapons of mass destruction, the administration knew that there was some of that laying around there from, you know, 20 years ago, right? I mean, it was not, yeah, those aren't considered.
It was from the Iran-Iraq war.
Right, so, but they knew that was there. That's why they're not probably jumping on this as evidence.
Well, they might have sold it to Saddam. You never know. I mean, remember that they were on, Saddam and America were allies. Rumsfeld was shaking Saddam's hand in 1983. So right, it's entirely possible that whatever weapons they find that are 20 years old, America helped them buy.
The fear I have about this report, this think tank report about the 18,000 terrorists, is that, you know, you can say that there's 18,000 potential terrorists, and that's alarming in itself, but then it's when it's written up in a different way, and depending on who's doing the spinning, and we can be sure that the administration will use it to its advantage, 18,000 terrorists poised to attack, 18,000 terrorists, you know, could create chaos. But today, you know, we're likely to have, you know, John Ashcroft, the Attorney General, and the head of the FBI beginning this campaign of public vigilance, warning, trying to get the U.S. public to kind of pay attention and look out for, you know, possible terrorist strikes. I mean, they're basically seeking the public's help in terrorist strike prevention. So this report will just give them extra fodder to kind of fan the fear that you were talking about, Mark Maron, that they've already done that. They've already said that there could be a major terror attack this summer.
It's to create fear. It's to create anxiety. It's to create distrust, and it's to make us all a little paranoid. Because ultimately, when they raise a terror alert, you know, to orange or whatever, what are you really supposed to do other than be more frightened?
I think just carry on with your life.
Yeah, I know, but it's like in this country, because, you know, we're not so accustomed to this type of, you know, this isn't Israel. This isn't, you know, it's even England has had an experience with, you know, this type of thing. Outside of 9/11, this is a new thing for us.
You have to hang out with the Brits and drink more at lunchtime.
Well, it's just that, like, what do you do other than, you know, be more anxious?
No, that's absolutely.
And I think that it plays into a whole tension that, you know, my big fear is that they elevate the fear level, and if you keep that chronic enough, it will completely you know, change people's minds about how they're going to vote, about what they think who's in charge and what they're going to rely on as good information and bad information. When people earn enough fear, they will follow anybody who seems to be in charge, and that's a big fear of mine.
Now, have the threat level at this point is, as far as I know, remaining at yellow.
Right.
It has not gone to orange, which is, I guess, what you would call high alert.
I don't understand that, Mark, because it's like they're sitting here. This piece that we have, this piece of information that we have from a reliable source says there's some really big things going on. They've raised the threat to orange for nothing in the past. I mean, it's only been orange a couple of times maybe, but it hasn't been this type of information. I mean, this article that we're looking at, you know, you've got Ashcroft saying, you know, they are planning something big for the summer. You know, there's a blockbuster coming.
So
you know?
Think we just have to spend the rest of our lives ever since 9/11 thinking that could be, that, you know, that we're basically in kind of yellow stroke orange all the time, and just, you know, somehow disengage from the actual fear on preventing, you know, don't worry about traveling, don't worry about doing anything, but just be mindful and don't be manipulated.
Mindful of what?
Well, that we could go any time and live life accordingly.
Oh, so you're saying just, you know,
just eat, drink, and be merry.
You know what I mean?
Quite that bad.
Go ahead. The president's Palm Pilot Plus. You know there's trouble when even William Rehnquist thinks the Supreme Court may have an ethics problem. We'll have details right here on Air America Radio.
Remember the last time you bit into a sweet, crunchy apple, grilled onions and peppers, or made a fresh salad? The Harvest of Hope Foundation reminds you that many fruits and vegetables are harvested by migrant farm workers. They and their families earn their living crisscrossing our country to work long hours in our nation's fields to bring to us our bountiful harvest of food. The Harvest of Hope Foundation is the nation's only private nonprofit foundation, which raises funds exclusively to aid this most hardworking yet often invisible group of workers. We offer emergency aid to migrant families and financial assistance for education for their children. We need your donations to continue this important and unique charitable work. Check out our Harvest of Hope Foundation's website at harvestofhope.net or call toll-free 1-888-922-4673. That's harvestofhope.net or toll-free 1-888-922-4673.
When did the fake news become more important than the real news? Why does the state care whom you marry? With digital art, is the computer the artist? New Yorkers always ask the hard questions. The New School helps you find answers. There's no better place to explore new ideas and improve your skills, whether you attend a lecture, take a course, or earn a degree. The New School will challenge, inform, and engage you as you take on the demands of living in today's complex world. Come to our open house night on Wednesday, May 26th, anytime from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at 66 West 12th Street between 5th and 6th Avenues to learn all about what the New School offers. Hundreds of courses, graduate and undergraduate degrees. For a New School summer course bulletin, call 1-800-319-4321, extension 158, or go to www.nsu.newschool.edu/summer158. The New School, knowledge that matters.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep. The Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free better sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
Twenty-two past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. Good morning. This is Morning Sedition. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. I seem to have misinformed you for a change. That's me personally, not this show. But unnamed sources have said that there's a lot of terrorist chatter about something big happening. John Ashcroft has not stepped to the podium and made any sort of statement. And also, I want to make it clear that fatal attacks by Al-Qaeda and close affiliates have gone up since September 11th, 2001, gone up. 3 years after, 4 years prior to September 11th, 8 attacks, 349 fatalities. 3 years after September 11th, 14 attacks, 599 fatalities. In the first, before September 11th, 7 nations were involved. And the second, 10 nations were involved. So just by, how would you call that? Would you call that numerical, mathematical evidence?
That would be it.
Mathematical evidence.
The numbers are in.
The numbers are in that George Bush is not good on terror. A matter of fact, he's good for terror.
How about George Bush is just not good?
Now, his FBI director and the attorney general are supposed to be holding a news conference today to talk about disrupting potential terror plots. This is according to CNN. And while they're at it, I wonder whether some of the reporters are going to ask FBI Director Robert Mueller about the Brandon Mayfield story, which is a major embarrassment for the FBI. This is the individual lawyer who had converted to Islam, whose fingerprints were linked to the bombings in Madrid. And they supposedly had his fingerprints dead to rights. They arrested him. They detained him, I believe, for something on the order of 17 days. And Monday they had to let him go. Why? Because the FBI messed up.
How so?
The fingerprint match was nowhere near what they said it was. In fact, it was not, according to reports, his fingerprints at all. He's talking about the possibility of suing, but the FBI as do most government agencies, have now launched an in-depth investigation as to how in the world they could detain what appears as someone who appears to be a completely innocent U.S. citizen for 17 days and have him end up being, like, blameless.
How they trace him to this in the first place? Why was he a suspect? Do you have that information? I just didn't.
Well, he was a suspect because they supposedly found a fingerprint at the scene that matched the Spanish police went to the FBI. The FBI checked their database and found a match for a fingerprint that the Spanish police found. But the Spanish police apparently had doubts about the match, even as the FBI said it was a perfect one.
Right, so this guy had some sort of record. I mean, his fingerprints were on file.
I mean, I guess because he's a, I guess so. I mean, maybe had he worked for the FBI? But the thing, I don't know about all those details, but the thing that is amazing is that the Spanish expressed doubts about this, Mark Riley. Isn't that correct? They said to the American government, look, you know, this doesn't really make sense, and they basically ignored the Spanish government.
Well, you know what? The part of the problem, Mr. Mayfield, as an attorney, represented someone who was a terrorism suspect in a custody case. Back in 2002, that seems to be what got him on there.
The plot thickens.
Yeah, the plot thickens. But of course, representing defendants is his job. He's a lawyer,
right?
So that was, he was doing what he was supposed to be doing. But they say that there was a contact, telephone contact between his home and a phone number assigned to a gentleman by the name of Pete Sita, who was a director of an Islamic charity in Portland, Oregon. The Haramain Islamic Foundation, and they were on a watch list.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, be careful who you have contact with. Be careful who you represent.
Yeah.
Be careful who you talk to.
It makes me nervous about my phone again. Now I'm, like, worried about my phone because I keep getting calls. Like, because my number must have been someone else's number, and I get calls, and in the little caller ID it says Muhammad Islam. It says right on my phone.
Yep.
And, like, I'm like, hello. And they're like, it is based on this. And I'm like, they don't live here, man. And now I'm thinking, like, you know, it doesn't matter. It's just me being paranoid.
No, no. They could have leg irons with your name on it.
But that thing
between
in Spain.
Between that and the websites I go to.
Yeah.
I mean, that thing in Spain, it's not even really like the plot thickens. It's like the plot thins. It's the same old thing. It's the United States government with the, you know, guilty until proven innocent thing again, isn't it?
The reason I said plot thickens was that, you know, if he's being set up because he once had affiliations with terrorist suspects, then it becomes sort of a, you know, conspiratorial thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I understand what you're
saying.
No,
that's true. But I'm just really, it's just amazing to me the number of times that the government kind of messes up on this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Denies people, you know, a fair shot to clear their name. Frankly.
Have contact with Muslims, get busted. That's the story that essentially came out of this. And from what I heard earlier this week, Mr. Mayfield, who is a lawyer, we should repeat, is talking about legal action against the government, like suing for big, big money over all this. I hope he gets it. I hope he gets every dime.
Well, maybe he can. Maybe the Supreme Court can help him out. There's some trouble in the Supreme Court, yes?
Well, you know, when it comes to trouble, it seems like anywhere in government, all they do is launch, you know, a study or an investigation. How many? The Pentagon has got, what, like 5 zillion investigations?
Putting together a committee.
Yeah.
They're going to have to reinstate the draft just to get people on committees.
Yeah. I mean, at what point do you say, you know, like, study is not really the issue here, investigations aren't really the issue here, and sometimes, you know, bureaucrats will launch a raft of investigations just to make sure nobody really finds out what actually took place.
But Rehnquist is saying, let's take a look at this Scalia thing, you know, and apparently the Supreme Court only has to check themselves. For a reality check, they just go to each other. How are we doing? You all right? I don't know if we're all right. Are you all right? I don't know. Let's ask the other guy. So, like, now, you know, Rehnquist is saying that we have to take a look at the Scalia thing, and he's assigning which justice is it to take care of it?
It's a 6-member committee. It's appointed by Rehnquist. They're starting meetings next month, and this is about the time that the Supreme Court is expected to rule in that case involving Dick Cheney, and that's the one that triggered all this because Cheney and Scalia went duck hunting together.
So Scalia's not on the committee, I'm assuming.
Let's hope not. Still to come, the presidential palm pilot. Why are so many Catholic churches closing? Plus, the liberal agenda. We're right back here on Air America Radio.
In 1988, a weed appeared in the garden when George Herbert Walker Bush was sworn in as the 41st President of the United States. Over the next 4 years, that weed grew into a big bush.
After a war with Iraq, a deficit buildup, and job losses at home, the people stormed the garden and chopped that bush down. But the conservative roots spread deep and wide and grew back. That little sprout grew into an even bigger bush. The son, George W. Bush, the 43rd president of the United States. Now, 4 years later, after another war with Iraq, another deficit buildup, and staggering job losses at home, it's time to weed the garden again. But this bush can't be trimmed. This bush needs to be ripped out by the roots. Help us weed the garden and go to our website at www.waxbush2004.com. It's time to wax Bush once and for all.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. From out of Washington, there's word that American officials have obtained new intelligence deemed highly credible, indicating Al-Qaeda or other terrorists are now in the United States and plan to stage a major attack this summer. Neither a time nor a place has been cited, but the intelligence is considered strong. Sentiment is said to be growing within the ranks of the Republican Party that holding the party's national convention in New York 3 months from now is a bad idea. Well-known Republican political consultant Roger Stone seems to agree and cites several reasons why New York's backdrop may no longer be the image Bush wants for his re-election effort. Arrogance and ineptness were the words used to describe President Bush's foreign policy by the man who seeks to replace him at the White House, Democrat John Kerry. Massachusetts Senator was on a campaign stump in Portland, Oregon yesterday, where he also expressed confidence there would be no need for a draft under a Kerry administration. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Hi. I want to thank you for remembering to recycle, and I want to let you know the recycling program has been completely restored. Every week we're now collecting glass bottles and jars, along with plastic bottles and jugs, metal cans, aluminum foil, beverage cartons, and drink boxes. And don't forget to recycle your mixed paper and corrugated cardboard. Just set out recyclables in clear bags or your recycling containers. If you have any questions or need container decals, please call 311. Thanks for doing your part, New York.
Remember the last time you bit into a sweet, crunchy apple, grilled onions and peppers, or made a fresh salad? The Harvest of Hope Foundation reminds you that many fruits and vegetables are harvested by migrant farm workers. They and their families earn their living crisscrossing our country to work long hours in our nation's fields to bring to us our bountiful harvest of food. The Harvest of Hope Foundation is the nation's only private nonprofit foundation which raises funds exclusively to aid this most hardworking yet often invisible group of workers. We offer emergency aid to migrant families and financial assistance for education for their children. We need your donations to continue this important and unique charitable work. Check out our Harvest of Hope Foundation's website at harvestofhope.net or call toll-free 1-888-922-4673. That's harvestofhope.net or toll-free 1-888-922-4673.
The Majority Report.
Well, you know, I heard on Chris Matthews' show, Hardball, I can remember hearing Chris Matthews saying once, people have a viscerally bad reaction to Bill Clinton. They just can't stand him.
Janine Garofalo and Sam Cedar.
How could you have a viscerally bad reaction to Bill and Hillary Clinton? Now I understand it. Because when Bush appears and speaks, I have to change it, or I have to leave room, or I have to cry out.
Air America's Majority Report on Air America Radio.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here on Morning Sedition on Air America Radio with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. This time now, I got my guy who's in the place over at the Oval Office who downloaded the president's schedule from his Palm Pilot, as he does every day. Thanks again, buddy. 8 a.m., wake up, stay on message, Abu Ghraib. Abu Ghraib? Abu Garbab? Abu Gobble Gobble? No, just say jail. 9 a.m., fire diction coach. 10:55 a.m., meet with President of Gabon, Oval Office. Tell him the United States will be happy to prop up his brutal African dictatorship just as soon as they find oil. Noon, lunchtime fun. Hide dog biscuit inside meatloaf. Again. Suppress laughter until presidential food taster finally notices. 1 p.m., face Mecca. Pray to Allah. Don't tell Ashcroft. 3 p.m., rock 'em, sock 'em robots with Cheney. Note, I get to be the blue one.
7 p.m., proposed doubling health care benefits for all chin injuries. Stupid bike. 9 p.m., lights out. Abu Ghraib. Abba Gamba? Gabba Gabba Hey? That's the president. Palm Pilot.
Thin schedule today, huh?
Huh?
Thin schedule.
He's got some fun plans.
Needs time to heal.
Yeah.
So the Catholic Church is closing some of its franchises. I mean, Paris.
Well, you're making it sound like it's McDonald's or something. 65 parishes in the Boston Archdiocese, which is America's fourth largest, has 2 million Catholics.
Yeah, and the first in pre-sexual abuse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, they settled, I don't know how many sexual abuse. I mean, just an extraordinary number. But this is something that's going on in archdioceses all over the country, right here in the New York area. There's talk about closing and consolidating parishes, for example, in the Newark Archdiocese.
A lot of layoffs. They're trying to, they're making the corporation a little smaller.
No, priests don't get laid off. They may get reassigned, but as you know, they don't get laid off.
That's right, until something really bad.
Really bad, yes.
This must be good for real estate, though. All those empty churches they won't be using. How about they do something really innovative and turn them into, job centers or, rehab places or childcare or, job training centers. Do something useful with them.
What they'll probably do is turn them into condos.
Well, exactly. That's what I mean. So they're good for real estate. That's what they will absolutely do. But then someone should think, okay, great. That must be. Does that mean if they're closing 65 parishes, there's 65 churches?
Yeah, but what ends up happening in many, many cases is that the evangelicals end up buying the churches lock, stock, and barrel from the Catholic Church, and they remain churches. Some municipalities don't particularly care for that because job training centers will likely pay taxes. Churches do not. But as you see the Pentecostals and the evangelicals expanding, they're the ones in many instances that are buying up these Catholic churches and changing them over and filling every seat in the house.
We could do with one. How about the Air America ex-Catholic Church?
I don't know. I'm not Catholic. Are you Catholic?
Who?
You ex-Catholic?
I'm an Episcopalian.
You Catholic?
No, Church of England.
So I guess from this show, there wouldn't be many people going to that.
Yeah, but I didn't know if we could move in.
We didn't ask Chris LaPresto.
We'd have a cool
LaPresto's got to be Catholic.
Oh,
okay,
Catholic.
Chris, okay. You make the bid. You get us the inside price on some huge building over outside Boston.
Well, there's
and
a
off
church.
We go.
Yeah, there's a church in Queens that used to be a synagogue, a lot of synagogues. I mean, I guess a house of worship is a house of worship. Once you just change the iconography, you're all set. Take down the Jesus, throw a Star of David up there, we're good.
Yeah,
nightclubs. Nightclubs.
They had the Limelight. That was insane.
Yeah.
That was a church of Satan.
Right. Even before that, there was another one on 43rd Street here in Manhattan called the Sanctuary. Not that I've ever been there personally, but it was one of those like all-night kind of places. And the Catholic Church actually went to the city of New York. Now, the place was deconsecrated, mind you.
I should think so.
Yeah. But
is there an actual ceremony of deconsecration that they have to do?
I think they run away screaming with their arms in the air.
I don't know exactly what it is. All I know was that this church was doing this former converted, deconsecrated church had some own unholy things going on, and so the city eventually closed it.
Oh, really? They couldn't come in and forgive everybody?
But now it turns out that there's unholy things going on in a lot of Catholics.
A lot of Now, see, you're going to go there. But, what we see happening with these churches is that the congregations were built around different ethnic groups. In cities like Boston, in the Newark Archdiocese, you had a Polish Catholic Church, you had an Italian Catholic Church. You had different ethnic groups that had their, and many of the masses were done in these languages. Mm-hmm. Well, as these ethnic communities have moved out of the inner cities, their parishes have gone from like 5,000 people down to about 200, 250. And they just can't sustain themselves anymore. These places were built for huge congregations. So then the question is, what do you do? And in some cases, you have three or four different Catholic churches within the same square mile.
Yeah, and how do you continue to generate income for the church if all the people have gone? But in Boston, I mean, the real issue has to be, they're not accusations. It's a reality. Is that why these are closing down?
Right.
Is that something to do with it?
Not just the ethnic divide, but is it that people are just disenchanted with the Catholic Church and they're not actually practicing? They might still nominally call themselves Catholics, but they don't actually go and worship and they don't want to belong to a congregation.
I think they're actually having to sell off a lot of the property to for these settlements. I mean, they're that broke up there, and it must be really brutal for people. especially longtime Catholics who haven't lapsed.
Yeah.
It must be heartbreaking to deal with what's going on up there.
$85 million is how much they paid out to settle with 500 victims.
I can't believe that.
That's
not
impossible.
Done yet. I mean, is it, it's not finished, right? People can still come forward now.
Talk
so
about
it's
a
not,
systemic problem.
I mean, did they say, like, anybody who wants to come forward and then we'll make settlements and it's finished? No. I mean, people can still theoretically come forward now and sue, can't they?
But
as long as it's within
yeah.
the statute of limitations. So this could be bottomless.
500. I mean, it's just like, you know, some of these priests were talking to each other. I mean, it's just like, it's really heinous evil that was going on within the Catholic Church. I mean, because, you know, priests theoretically confess to each other, you know, and I don't even, you know, I wonder if they were all sitting around talking about this. It was clearly something that was understood within the church was going on for many years.
Maybe in some ways the closing of a church, if something bad happened in a parish, is a way of actually just bringing closure. Perhaps there's something that that people in that parish might be glad.
Like it's polluted?
Yes,
like it needs to be exercised?
Right. A bit like kind of, you know, bulldozing the Abu Ghraib jail.
Right, yeah.
You know, that there's something, a building does carry a kind of a bad feeling with it. If you're in a parish and something, you know, there was abuse, you might just think, you know what, good.
It's polluted,
just,
yeah.
Let's just move on.
Yeah. You can't make it a museum to sexual abuse.
No, you can't.
I would say not.
So we've got the liberal agenda up ahead, and we want to hear from all the Catholics out there. Is the church getting what it deserves? Are they taking an unfair hit? What would Jesus do? Let us know. 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. We'll put you on the line right here on Air America Radio.
You work hard, and you put in extra hours at the office, but you're not getting ahead in your career. Well, here's an idea. Maybe the best place to put in extra hours isn't at work. Instead, try earning your college degree via the Internet at University of Phoenix Online. A college degree continues to provide greater opportunity, responsibility, and reward. And by working just 15 to 20 hours a week at University of Phoenix Online, you can earn your degree in just 2 to 3 years. At University of Phoenix Online, we offer bachelor's and master's degree programs in business, management, accounting, marketing, IT, healthcare, criminal justice, education, nursing, and more. The fact is, it's better to spend a few years working on your college degree than to spend a lifetime working without it. Before you know it, you'll have the expertise and credentials you need to excel in your field. Call University of Phoenix Online today at 1-800-624-1890. That's 1-800-624-1890.
Remember the last time you bit into a sweet, crunchy apple, grilled onions and peppers, or made a fresh salad? The Harvest of Hope Foundation reminds you that many fruits and vegetables are harvested by migrant farm workers. They and their families earn their living crisscrossing our country to work long hours in our nation's fields to bring to us our bountiful harvest of food. The Harvest of Hope Foundation is the nation's only private nonprofit foundation which raises funds exclusively to aid this most hardworking yet often invisible group of workers. We offer emergency aid to migrant families and financial assistance for education for their children. We need your donations to continue this important and unique charitable work. Check out our Harvest of Hope Foundation's website at harvestofhope.net or call toll-free 1-888-922-4673. That's harvestofhope.net or toll-free 1-888-922-4673.
My name is Kathy, and I met my husband Michael at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband Tom through eHarmony.com.
My name is Jennifer, and I met my husband Jack on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages. Dating services give you a picture in a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
We'll be right back.
44 past the hour. Good morning. It's Mark Maron on Morning Sedition with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. We're taking your calls, 866-303-AAR0. We want to talk about the 65 parishes closing in Boston, the Catholic parishes. Is this what the church has coming? Is it wrong? What about the Catholic Church and Catholics? Call us if you're Catholic, 866-303-2270, sedition at airamericaradio.com. Brian, in upstate New York, you want to set us straight about some stuff?
Well, guys, I'd just like to ask why the heck you diverted from normal researched opinion that I expect out of you guys and get most of the time into this speculation about all these ulterior motives. I mean, Mark, I know you're a conspiracy fan.
Okay.
But both the membership of the congregations and the membership of the priesthood have been declining for decades. They have too many buildings and they're not filling them.
So you're saying
so suspicious about consolidating these parishes and closing them? It only makes sense.
Well, what's suspicious is of what's been going on in Boston and all the lawsuits. I mean, there has
what's
to
going on in Boston and New York and
right.
all over the country and
okay.
all over
he said
the world
that.
Is something that has also been going on for decades, if not centuries, and must be addressed, and it hasn't been, and that's something that is both horrific and shameful to all of us who are Catholics.
Right.
But it has. I don't believe it has anything to do with the closure of buildings because
okay.
the archdiocese themselves continue to exist.
No, wait a minute. First of all, the Boston Archdiocese said it had something to do with it. That's number one.
Really?
Yes.
Now
that's quoted.
I didn't hear you mention.
Yes.
Yes.
You want to hear the quote?
No,
hold
no.
up. You want to hear the quote?
Yes.
Because you said we didn't do research, so
well,
I want to make sure that you understand exactly where we're coming from here. Because they did, there's a quote from the Archdiocese that says that part of the reason why they're closing so many parishes has to do with the financial struggles that are brought on by the settlement of the sex abuse cases.
Okay.
Right, and I've read before reports on all these churches, they're so expensive to maintain. Many of them are old buildings, kind of, you know, heating and maintenance, and just the cost of running all these buildings has become prohibitive given the huge payouts that they've made over these settlements.
Right, and... Well, that makes
just
sense.
That's practical.
Now, not only
financing.
That, I said that there were other reasons that were involved in closing the parish. I mentioned here in Newark, all right? The Newark Archdiocese is closing, and I said very specifically because ethnics had moved out of those communities.
Right. There was an article in last week's Times about that.
But you're saying we're not doing exactly what we were.
But you're veering off into this, into this huge, in-depth discussion of the ulterior motives having to do with this sex abuse scandal and trying to
No. All we did was say what the Archdiocese of Boston said. That's not veering.
What was the number? $80 million or?
$85 million. Now, if you took an $85 million hit, you'd have to do something, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
Well, that's all we said.
Okay, well.
Thanks a lot, man.
Hey, wait.
What?
About the sexual abuse scandal.
Yeah.
The only thing that's going to fix that, and I don't see this coming as long as a lot of these guys in there now are alive, is full accountability and excommunication.
Right. Okay.
Well, we agree on that.
And I can only continue to pray for it.
All right.
How about prison as well?
Yeah, for those that are responsible
I'm
like that.
I'm talking about the church fixing itself. The legal system should not be exempt from that as well. These guys should be prosecuted by the law as well as dealt with by the church.
Absolutely. But perhaps, you know, more than just praying, which I think is a good start and something that you feel strongly about, is also speaking out. I mean, I think it's very good to have a caller like that who, I know, speaks from the position of being a Catholic and basically wants to call his church leaders and the entire church as a body to accountability.
And thank you, Riley, for going in there and, like, you know, finding the nugget to beat him over the head with a little bit.
I mean, because I don't like to be told we're not doing.
But we did say that. We did mention that. He just he chose to hear it in a certain way. But the information we did put out there properly. Charles in Manhattan. Charles.
Hi. Good morning.
How
everybody.
Are you?
What's up? How you doing, Charles?
Good. Listen, I'm an Episcopalian, and I was really...
My brother!
Yeah, my brother. What's up? Cathedral St. John the Divine.
Oh, okay. You guys, this is across the street from where my brother used to live on 112.
That place
great,
is huge.
Now, let me tell you, I grew up in a predominantly Catholic neighborhood, or at the time it was, on the west side here. It's changed greatly.
Manhattan Valley?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I know that for people who aren't from New York City, that is a that used to be an Irish area at one time.
That's right. That's what I am.
Yeah. Okay,
and,
there you go.
And I'll tell you, we've had a great influx of former Catholics in the parish.
Mm-hmm.
A great influx. I mean, these are people like just like running from Catholic churches.
So you think the church is pushing people away?
Yeah, I think so, and I think the sexual abuse issue is a heavy part of it. And another thing is just in general, you know, they don't allow their priests to be normal and have regular sexual lives and children and families.
Well, a lot of those guys are trying to get those rights. I wonder if they'll ever give in on that. But thanks for your call, man. Call us up, 866-303-2270, 866-303-AAR0. If you're a Catholic, a lapsed Catholic, have something to say about the closing of Catholic churches, anything like that.
Also the refusal to ordain women. I mean, that's a big issue. That's a big issue even for, you know, for many kind of Latin Catholics and certainly for, you know, Irish Americans.
It keeps them very arcane.
It's in the past. I mean,
yeah.
People want their church to modernize. I think they believe in the ethical system. They just want it to adapt to modern life.
Right,
reality.
Yeah. Right. Ellen in Long Island. Ellen, quickly, we can take your call. I've got a minute here.
Okay. Hi.
Hi.
I'm a Catholic, and I'm kind of torn because I really want to go back to church, but the church is so hypocritical, it's really hard for me to go back and stay there.
Right.
Because I was at one Mass where the priest was saying that the Jews were responsible for killing Jesus. I mean, you know, these are things that I remember when I was a little kid, and now I'm 43. So, I mean, it hasn't changed. It needs to change if it wants to keep people, and that's the sad thing. I don't think it realizes that.
Thank you very much, Ellen. You know, I'm a Jew, and apparently we did have something to do with it. I don't know, you know, how big a part we played. But, you know, I'd like to offer an alternative way of looking at it. Perhaps the Catholics should spin it another way and thank the Jews for killing Jesus. Because if he doesn't die, you don't have much of a story. And I think we can all work together here. We'll be back with the liberal agenda and more of your calls. 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270 here on Air America Radio.
Stick it where it hurts to feel well. Patch works in a hurry to feel well. Patch lasts a long time to feel well. Well, Patch, it brings you back to well. Patch.
Is pain keeping you from feeling well? Try the immediate, long-lasting pain relief of Well Patch. Well Patch comes in a full line of pain-relieving patches that soothes your specific pain. For backache, arthritis, muscle pain, or stiff neck, put on a Well Patch.
Well Patch, it brings you back to well. Patch.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
Mine too. But who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massage and gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
Smart business people know the difference between success and failure lies in the ability to grow. Being limited by your current facility adds up to lost productivity and, even worse, lost revenue. You've looked at the price to build and keep putting it off, but have you considered the cost of not building? Now is the time to build that warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space you need with the General Steel Corporation. The General will show you how to save time and money with a steel building engineered for your area and to meet your needs. This is no metal box. General Steel will show you how to add the look of stucco, rock, or brick to make that building attractive yet low maintenance and energy efficient. Call toll-free 1-800-70-STEEL. If you need warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space, you need the General. If your church or school needs to expand quickly and save money, you need the General. Whether you need a 60 by 120 for under $54,000 or a 100 by 150 for under $108,000, call the General now for free information. Grab a pen and write down this number, 1-800-70-STEEL. That's 1-800-70-STEEL.
Mom, can you take me to Supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl, who we haven't even met yet, and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to Supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the
way. Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love.
usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where's the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
Hello, good morning. It's Wednesday. I'm Mark Maron. This is Morning Sedition. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. We're taking your calls at 866-303-2270. A couple of possibilities. We talked about the fingerprints of this lawyer who was accused and let off in this
Brandon bank. Mayfield, yeah.
Yeah, apparently he could have been fingerprinted when he was in the military, could have been fingerprinted because he was a lawyer in some states. He, you know, we didn't have all the story.
And no, but see, the fingerprints, the FBI is maintaining that they had more evidence than the fingerprints. That's what we were talking about.
Okay.
Not the fact that he had been fingerprinted because of any specific situation, but that they said that they had other evidence besides the fingerprints that tied him to that bombing.
And they clearly
did. And that was all the whole thing about the conversation, the phone conversation he supposedly had
right.
with the guy from the Islamic Charity. That's where all of that came from.
Right. So now we've got, I'm sorry, Sue,
no,
I was just going to grab another
so
call.
Confident. They're so confident. They were, you know, they 100% sure.
Yeah.
I can't see a name here. How about Paul in Long Island, Paul? On the top there? That's not Paul. Hello, who's
yeah,
there?
Yeah, there's Paul, isn't it? Oh, no. There's Paul.
Hey, Paul.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
What's going on?
Well, I just heard the first thing I was going to talk about was how the Catholic Church seems to focus on the wrong things, which is the illegal war in Iraq, which actually the Vatican did oppose and did say it's not the correct thing to do. Instead, they've taken a play out of the playbook of the Christian conservatives in this country, and let's do the divisive issues and attack, you know, Catholic politicians and deny them communion and make that the issue.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got to clean their own house first before they're involved in that kind of behavior.
Right.
The other thing I was going to say is about the attorney in Oregon. He was actually, apparently, according to a story I read yesterday, he was fingerprinted for an arrest when he was a teenager.
Wow. So there's now we've got a lot of
three different ways he got fingerprinted.
We'll have to check all this out. Thanks a lot, Paul. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The other thing is that apparently he was also under surveillance before the fingerprints were found.
For reasons that
Okay.
It might have been a contextual kind of I'm the fingerprints match.
Okay. Yeah. We'll check it out, man.
Yeah, but the FBI did rely on a digital copy of a fingerprint and only went to review the original last weekend after the Spaniards linked it to a Nigerian national. So that was a mess up using the digital print.
Wow. So there's just a million ways that these things can get confused, and fingerprints were thought to be so unique.
Yeah.
And did I read something somewhere? Am I making this up in my weird head that, you know, that maybe there is a chance that some people have similar fingerprints, that they aren't all as specifically different as was once thought?
I mean, they must be. I mean, given how many millions and millions of people there are, have been, and will be, they must be. It must be possible to confuse them.
Well,
they must. Don't they have to blow them up absolutely huge and see little tiny, tiny differences?
Yeah. I got a scar on my thumb, so.
You won't be able to get in and out of the country without being pulled over to detention then, because I came on a flight the other week with a Virgin attendant who put her finger in the new digital thing, and she had a Band-Aid on and got pulled off.
Wow. There's our liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. We get this every day. Please get your pens and papers and write these down. One, push to change name of local school from Thomas Jefferson Elementary to Abu Ghraib Memorial Learning Center of Shame. Two, pass out millions of plastic leaflets on recycling. Three, condemn the Sopranos for perpetuating Italian stereotypes, then hang out with the cast at swank showbiz parties. Four, hand out biodegradable syringes to addicts. Five, change the movie rating system from G, PG, and R to cool. Profanity is protected by the First Amendment and a long overdue depiction of adult sexuality. There you go. Very informative and helpful.
Quite helpful. In the next hour of Morning's Edition, Mark Maron's Dream Diary, You on the Phones, plus Recovery Corner. It's all coming up here on Air America Radio.
Sales like this don't happen every day, just Thursday through Monday. It's the Memorial Day sale at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Save 30% on all our high-quality paints and stains, including Everclean and Super Paint Interior in our plastic twist and pour container. And save 30 to 64% on all wallpaper, too. Stop in and take advantage of the long weekend. Sale ends Monday. Ask how? Ask now. Ask Sherwin-Williams. For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
My company designs and builds offices for large corporations. After 10 years in business, I can handle just about any construction problem. But paying my bills on time, that's not always so easy.
Introducing the American Express Platinum Business Credit Card. It lets small business owners pay over time. There's no annual fee, plus you enjoy all the savings, services, and tools of Open, the Small Business Network. Apply now. Call 1-800-NOW-OPEN.
Paying over time? It helps me build my business.
Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
You're listening to 1190 WLIV New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. No smoking gun yet, but American intelligence officials are saying their evidence points to a major attack in the United States this summer by elements of Al-Qaeda and other terrorist organizations. That's the word from Washington, D.C. this morning. The information is nothing really new, but American intelligence says it's the most credible to date on plans for an attack. Speculation abounds over just where or when such an event would occur. U.S. Attorney General John Ashcroft and FBI Director Robert Mueller will hold the news conference on the issue later today. A report by the International Institute of Strategic Studies has concluded that Al-Qaeda is growing in spite of the U.S.-led war on terrorism. The report added that the war in Iraq is beginning to swell its ranks. The Institute out of Great Britain estimates that Al-Qaeda currently has an operating force of 18,000 throughout the world. They say the group is probably working on plans for a major attack on the United States and Europe. The organization says the terrorists are seeking weapons of mass destruction in this desire to inflict as many casualties as possible. The Institute says Osama bin Laden is still at large and in charge of Al-Qaeda, even though 30 of his top leaders have been killed. Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry took his campaign to Portland, Oregon yesterday, where he slammed President Bush and his foreign policy, calling it arrogant and inept. He also talked about the soaring price of crude oil and its impact on Americans.
There is no way possible for our nation to drill its way out of this predicament. We have to invent our way out of this predicament.
Kerry also told a gathering of young students in Portland that if he were elected president, there would be no need to restore the draft. A cloud appears to be hovering over the Republican Party this morning over a plan hatched close to a year and a half ago to have Bush's second coronation as the party's nominee in the city of New York. Republican officials earlier felt the mostly Democratic town would have been a great backdrop to fuel interest in a second term for Bush, but the president's declining poll numbers linked to Iraq and his handling of the war on terror may be less of an asset now. Compounding the problem is strong anti-union sentiment for Bush among the uniformed services in New York with respect to outfitting those departments with life-saving equipment. There have been deadly overnight clashes around the Iraqi holy city of Najaf. Hospital officials say 9 people have been killed and around 36 injured in the fighting between U.S. troops and Shiite militiamen loyal to renegade cleric Muqtada al-Sadr. No reports of U.S. casualties. According to a Defense Department official, comprehensive testing has confirmed the presence of the chemical weapon sarin in the remains of a roadside bomb discovered this month in Baghdad. The determination was made by a laboratory in the United States that remains anonymous. The find verifies what earlier less thorough field tests had concluded. The bomb was made from an artillery shell designed to disperse the deadly nerve agent on the battlefield. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
If you mess up one more thing, you're fired. That's what my boss just told me. Guess I can't blame him, though. I've been forgetting more and more things all the time. Small things and sometimes big things. Yesterday, I forgot a meeting. Today, I forgot our biggest client. I might as well forget my paycheck.
If your poor memory is putting your job at risk, you need to call now for a free CD on the most remarkable memory improvement program available. The Memory Optimizer shows you how easy it is to dramatically improve your memory now and protect it for the future without drugs or dietary supplements. You'll be amazed at how much more easily you remember names, dates, facts, figures, whatever you need to remember. Before you do another thing, call 1-800-900-8182 for your free Memory Optimizer CD. You'll discover how easy it is for you to improve and protect your memory in all areas of your life. Call now, 1-800-900-8182. That's 1-800-900-8182.
When I get one of my headaches, every minute of that pounding, throbbing pain is a minute too long. So when I take something, I want to make sure I choose the one that will get rid of that tough pain faster.
The moment of choice. Tylenol or Advil for faster headache relief. Truth is, Advil liquid gels rush relief to your headache faster than Tylenol. And Advil relief is stronger, better relief too.
Headache's gone already. Glad I chose Advil.
For faster headache relief, advance to Advil relief.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud. Some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Oh, I should say no.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
Randy Rhodes.
The Republicans, I don't know, maybe there are 1,800 pictures. They can only concentrate on one picture at a time. And if it's not a picture of Monica Lewinsky's dress, they can't focus. They could find a stain on a dark blue. I can't find a stain on a dark green button-down shirt that I wear all the time. It's an ink shirt. You know, everybody knows this brand. And I get to work, and of course it takes a gay man, Tim, to say, oh, you have a big stain on your shirt.
Randy Rhodes on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm Mark Maron here along with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley on Air America Radio. It's 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Today, a soldier back from Iraq who says he killed innocent civilians there. Why did he do it? Was he a bad apple or just one of the crowd? We'll find out. Plus, our daily intervention as we take George W. to Recovery Corner. That's coming up. Right now, I'm joined by my friends Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. Good morning.
Good morning.
How's it going?
Good.
It's going.
Excellent.
So far, so good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the picture of the first couple behind you.
On the wall?
Lovely, yeah. Aren't they? Very romantic.
And there's a picture of him with his glasses on, supposedly doing work
underneath. I love the pictures. Like, I love the ones of him at his desk with his glasses on. All right, George, put the glasses on. Move them down your nose so it looks like you're reading something.
No, he's got a Superman comic underneath. You ever do that when you were in school, when you had like a regular book?
Mad Magazines.
Mad Magazines or something.
Superman comic.
I bet you there's something underneath that that notepad he's got.
If it weren't for Mad Magazine, I wouldn't be half the man I am right now.
Me either.
Whatever that means. So, dude. I don't know what it means. I'm paralyzed with fear. Paralyzed with fear on a day-to-day basis. Now this report comes out. The IISS report puts a number of terrorists at 18,000 trained worldwide.
That's the International Institute of Strategic Studies, based in London. These guys don't play either, by the way.
But dude, it's like I thought that we this president, he was supposed to have a handle on terrorism. He's supposed to be good for terror. You know, he is good for terror, but he's not good on terrorism. I mean, the truth of the matter is that now that Iraq has become the central you know, the grand Grand Central Station of terrorism.
Yeah.
And it wasn't before.
It's now the incubator.
Right.
I mean, it's really where people, there are according to this report, at least 1,000 foreign fighters are somewhere inside Iraq, plotting these car bombings, plotting many of these other activities that are ending up killing both Americans and Iraqis.
And a lot of people don't realize that Zarqawi, the main guy of an al-Qaeda branch,
yeah,
who apparently is responsible for the death of Nick Berg, was they had him in their sights. I mean, the administration had 3 shots at this guy when he was in the Iraqi no-fly zone, but they left him alive in order to maintain a connection, that there was a connection between Saddam Hussein and al-Qaeda. And now, like, not only has he killed an American civilian worker, Nick Berg, but these guys have, like, since 9/11, terrorism has gone up. 4 years prior to September 11th, there were 8 attacks, 349 fatalities, 7 different nations. Now, post 9/11, there have been 14 attacks, 599 fatalities, and 10 nations involved. It is very clear, just by mathematics, that this president has made terrorism worse, has done nothing to make us feel any safer. And now Ashcroft's supposed to make a statement, I think, today. There's been some unnamed source in that. There's a very extreme threat possibility, an unfocused threat, that something's going to happen in the summer. So the fear is back. I don't feel any safer. You know, I was just starting to, you know, enjoy a certain amount of freedom of mind, and now the fear of radiation and bacterial spores is back on me, and I don't know what to do with that fear, Mark. How do you prepare for the big bacterial thing? Wear the gas masks.
I don't know about gas masks. I think you need one of those suits. You may have to go down to one of the
just so I have an out at one of the sport protection stores.
Yeah.
Just
no, go to a sporting goods store. Get one of those really thick looking suits that keep mosquitoes off you, and at least you'll feel better.
It
may not protect you from anything, but at least you'll feel better.
The anti sarin suit.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
And people will at least think that, you know, you're on the ball. You're paying attention. You know that there's a threat. I mean, this is a situation now where apparently they have not raised the threat level from yellow to orange, but there's all kinds of sensitive information that all kinds of people across the country, including right here in New York, the New York City Police Commissioner Ray Kelly, says he's been privy to highly sensitive information. It says that there could well be some kind of a terror attack either at the G8 summit, at either of the conventions, at the Olympics, at something that's coming up this weekend in Washington for Memorial Day.
Do you think that could give them some sort of leeway in prosecuting some of the anti-corporate protesters that are Americans, you know, the guys that show up at the G8 summits all over the place, protesting corporations and the World Bank? Could they be prosecuted as terrorists?
Prosecuted, but there are signs that they're clamping down on any kind of protest. Remember, there's a big fuss about the anti-Republican demonstrators who want to gather in New York.
Oh, it's horrible what they do.
They said that they can't gather in Central Park, and they're still trying to come up with an alternative venue. So what you see is sort of preventative repression. They don't even wait for a protest to take place before they try to disperse it. They try and stop the thing taking place to begin with.
Yeah, and when you do have a protest now, it's weird. They barricade people into these little pens, usually blocks away from what they're trying to protest. They completely, you know, castrate it of its power. But I don't want to offend any feminists. Neuter it as well.
I think women can handle that.
You know,
they gut it.
They gut it.
Right.
They gut the power of the protest.
Chop it off at the knees.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I'm just wondering if that sort of this type of language is starting, are they going to start addressing the guys, the sort of righteous, sort of anti-World Bank guys, anti-global capitalism dudes as terrorists?
Well, the next G8 is going to be, I think, in, what is that, Sea Island? I believe it's in Georgia.
They're going to start doing it on the moon eventually.
Yeah, they're going to have to, because there's really no safe haven for them. I mean, people all over the world protest the G8 because they have problems with this whole global economic situation that many people feel, I don't know if I agree with them totally on this, but many people feel that it's a ruse by global capitalism to simply, exploit workers wherever they can. Bring the work to where people aren't getting paid for it, and then get rid of employment in places where you actually have to pay a living wage.
Right.
You know, and that, I think, is
exploiting the downtrodden around the world in order to make shoes.
Yes, absolutely. And if you look on the inside of many of your shoes, ladies and gentlemen, as you go to work this morning, you will see made in, and it won't say USA.
It'll say made by the downtrodden of Thailand.
Absolutely.
Or as Mark said yesterday, if it does say made made in USA. That could just be the label.
Yeah, it could definitely just be the label.
So let's get back to this report, Mark Riley. Will you tell me, you know, lay out what is the IISS so I know and so our listeners know?
Okay, the IISS is an independent think tank. It bills itself as the world's leading authority on political military conflict. And they do an annual assessment of world affairs where they talk about different places in the world where violence, political violence, military violence is taking place, and what's at the root of those kinds of conflicts. They've looked at, for this year, obviously, the situation with Al-Qaeda, the situation with the war on terror, and that what they've concluded, Mark Maron, is precisely what you concluded about a week ago.
And the terrorist manufacturing plant.
Yeah, that the war on terror has, in fact, emboldened and swelled the ranks of Al-Qaeda. And I think, you know, we're at a point now when they're talking about 18,000 potential terrorists all over the world. And I'm not sure how many of them are actually identifiable to law enforcement authorities across the globe. I don't know.
It's actually worse, Mark, because it's the fact that they've not just driven Al-Qaeda out of Afghanistan and dispersed them through more than 60 countries, but they've made them almost invisible and harder to combat, because what they've done is they've allied themselves with kind of small kind of insurgent and you know, disgruntled political groups, as you've seen, you know, in Iraq. You know, you look at Muqtada al-Sadr, the rebellious cleric, and the anger in Iraq towards the American coalition. So even if people weren't formally part of al-Qaeda, it plays into the kind of, you know, anti-conquering and the you know, we don't want to be conquered by a foreign power, so you've got a little ranks there. And people have gone to softer targets. You look at the nightclub bombings in Bali, and there were bombings in Thailand just only a few weeks ago. It's all around the world, but soft targets, not just military.
Could be a shopping mall, could be anything.
Absolutely.
And you're basically saying,
synagogue.
No, any group, there may have been infighting amongst the anti-American terrorist groups before, but now they can all agree on one thing, is that we hate Americans even more than we used to, thanks to George W. Bush. Look what a little can-do, an American know-how, can create, as George Bush said in his speech, that Iraq is now the central front in the war on terror, whereas before the war on terror, it was not a terrorist place.
Well, you know, there's a guy by the name of Mark Sagaman, who's a counterterrorism advisor to the U.S. government, and he's the author of a book, Understanding Terror Networks. He's kind of done some extensive research on Al-Qaeda.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things he points out, and I think this is important for people to know, is that simply getting rid of key leaders, which actually has happened in some cases. For example, they busted the guy who was seen to be responsible for that bombing, for that series of bombings in Bali back in 2002.
Right.
But getting rid of the leaders does not get rid of the cell. The cell seems to regenerate itself even after the leaders go.
It's the whole Hydra head thing.
Yeah, was it? That's
you cut off the head and another one grows back. It's a multi-headed organization. And it's not about leadership now. It's not about, you know, the Bush administration likes very much to target an individual person and kind of demonize one person, but it's not about that anymore. It's layer upon layer upon layer.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's more like cancer, I think, is a better sort of example from nature, is that, you know, if you start, you know, cutting up at a tumor and spread the malignancy all over the place, it's like it's in a hornet's nest is another
right.
good metaphor, that, you know, you're just going to piss them all off, all the cells, and they're going to, you know, go deeper undercover and spread deeper into all bodies.
Well, that leads to the question, how do you stop this thing? How do you deal with it? If you don't, if cutting off the leaders, and they haven't gotten all of them, but if cutting off the leaders doesn't work, then how do you stop somebody from looking, you know, walking past a synagogue or a nightclub or some other, quote, soft target and thinking, gee, you know, that's a good place. Let me start thinking about how I'm gonna blow that place up.
That's a good question, Mark, and I think it's a question that, you know, deserves an answer. I just have no idea, because, you know, when you're dealing with a frightened population and you're dealing with sort of scant information, that, you know, it causes everybody to be suspect of everybody else, and it's hard to figure out what the hell needs to be done about this particular problem, mm-hmm. if it exists as deeply as they say it does. Still ahead, new information on how Kerry's doing in some key swing states, and up next, the Dream Diary, right here on Air America Radio.
I'm really impressed with CortiSlim. And you know what? I like the way my clothes are starting to fit now.
I'm Dr. Greg Cinnamone. And since my field is psychology, picture this. You're getting ready for work and select a pair of pants that you couldn't come close to buttoning before. Today, they fit. That's how you know you're losing weight. But weighing yourself daily can drive you crazy. Why? Because many diet pills fake you into thinking you're losing fat when all you've lost is water weight. We tell our customers to stay off the scale and gauge your success in the mirror and by how loose your clothes are fitting. One national radio personality told me he gave up weighing himself. All he knows is, since CortiSlim, he's fitting into pants 2 inches smaller in the waist. Yes, results vary, and diet and exercise matter, but in my opinion, Dr. Talbot's CortiSlim is a true weight loss breakthrough. Stop weighing yourself and start losing the inches with CortiSlim. Call 1-800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316.
Today at 5 on Channel 7 Eyewitness News. Spray-on pantyhose. Does this stuff work? Eyewitness News gets the best legs in town to test it out for you. Plus at 5, how to be a cool parent. Eyewitness News just found some great summer activities you can do with your kids. Plus at 6, Fleet Week is here, and security is a huge concern. Eyewitness News details new security measures you should be aware of. It all starts with Diana Williams, Sade Veteranois, and Sam Champion with the AccuWeather Forecast. Today at 5, only on ABC 7.
An all-new Oprah. For the first time in 10 years, singer George Michael goes public.
You gotta tell us what happened.
The humiliating arrest.
Arrested for a lewd act.
Okay, this is absolutely what happened.
The fall from fame. The life he hid.
I plummeted into deep, deep depression.
George Michael.
My God, why didn't I just sit with the journalist and say I am gay?
Next Oprah.
Today at 4, only on ABC 7. Followed by Eyewitness News at 5.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free better sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
All right, now we're cooking with gas. ACTC, Mark Maron, Morning Sedition. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. It's Wednesday. How you doing? Right now it's time for a much-loved and much-hated segment we call the Dream Diary. This is my dream from last night that I'm bringing to my therapist on Thursday. We do this every day. He told me to write him down, so let's see if I can make my way through my scribble. So I'm a big Hollywood agent. I've got an Italian suit on. I got a tanning bed tan. My teeth are huge, blinding, and magnificent. I would so have sex with me. I'm in my fantastic office sitting in a chair that's 6 inches higher than the one across from me because that's where George W. Bush is sitting because he's my client. Maybe I'm not that good an agent. G-Dub, Booby, we need to talk, I say. First, can I get you water, cappuccino? Nothing? Okay, here's the thing. No one wants to work with you anymore. You're in a bigger slump than Travolta. The whole I've got a plan for Iraq thing. We're talking the Alamo. We're talking the Cat in the Hat. It's a disaster, Booby. And your TV spots have been, how can I put it, painful. We're talking early Conan painful. You're worse than the Asian kid on American Idol who can't sing. Only not as funny. Funny would help you. Funny we could work with. You're a lovable idiot shtick. It's so last year it doesn't work anymore, kiddo. This year is smooth, smart, John Kerry. All right, maybe not John Kerry, but you, not you either. The bike wreck? What was that? Two words for you. Dinner theater, baby. Maybe we could get you some work as a villain on Soap. I know that's usually Chaney's thing, but I doubt it. We could even get you that. The doors are closing, the phones are quiet, so it kills me to do this, but the Marin Agency is going to let you go, Bubby. All right, George, go ahead, let it out. Your tears are my tears. Now, if you don't mind, I'm meeting Lindsay Lohan for Pilates class. I left Bush weeping on my $10,000 rug. I woke up and my bed was filled with 500 validated parking tickets.
Uh-oh.
What is that about?
You know, that is that the first person dream diary you've done? That this usually you do them in the third person. This time you did them in the first.
I was living it. I climbed right back into the dream. I felt like I was at home in bed, wondering why am I getting up? Oh yeah.
Does that make it worse when it's first person? It's more nightmarish.
That one, it was a pretty exciting dream. I was in the power seat in that dream,
right,
so
okay.
It wasn't a nightmare. That one was a very confident, felt good. So Carrie's kicking out some ads, speaking of a show business.
He's in the power seat, yeah. I think he is. I mean, not only is he kicking out ads, he is kicking off an 11-day focus on national security.
I guess the ads aren't new. My mistake. We just listened to one when we were off the air, and I was just told by my producer or the voice in my head, I can't tell the difference anymore. but the ads aren't new. Sorry to
interrupt. But this is new, right? Because he hasn't really spoken all that much about Iraq, but now he's telling us about how he would fight terrorism, which is what we've been waiting to hear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did he actually say something, or is he going to say it?
No, he starts tomorrow. He's giving a major speech tomorrow. He will be focusing for the next 11 days following tomorrow, or I guess including tomorrow, on national security issues, including Iraq, homeland security, and military needs.
Maybe he'll have some answers for you about that question, because that's the question we all ask. How do you fight this particular type of enemy, and why do these guys keep claiming, the administration we have now, that they are doing a good job at it when clearly terrorism has gotten worse and the war in Iraq has emboldened them?
I'll tell you one way.
Yeah.
You don't send paper-thin Humvees to Iraq. That's one thing you don't do, which apparently they have been doing.
The military has been
sending
military Humvees that are not equipped properly.
Not equipped to withstand the kind of roadside car bombings that have become apparently pretty commonplace in Iraq, to the point that they have been raising money to buy or in some cases get donated old bulletproof vests from police departments all over the country to send over there to put on the sides of these Humvees to act as shields so that shrapnel doesn't get inside the vehicle.
That is amazing. The thing that I would like to see Kerry do, though, is be able to kind of point that, you know, that their positions on what to do in Iraq have many similarities. What he should do, I hope he'll do, is point out that the reason there are similarities is because Bush has shifted so gradually away from the kind of, you know, go it alone kind of America position that he's backtracked, he's backpedaled, and that, you know, if anybody criticizes Kerry by saying, well, look, come on, what's the difference between your plan and Bush's, he should just stick it right out there. Well, I thought of this. This was my view all along, and you can trust me on this.
I will go to the international community and get the support we need to finish this thing properly and with international support. Whereas Bush is in this position to sit there and go, come on, fellas. It's me. It's George. Come on. How much you want, Chirac? How much you want? I'll give you a piece of the pie. Let's do this thing.
Yeah, but see, Chirac isn't exactly buying. The Germans aren't exactly buying. Putin is definitely not buying. Why? Because, you know, Bush and Cheney and the rest of these people sat up in the run-up to the war and said, look, we don't need no stinking United Nations. We don't need to be bothered with these people. We can do this alone. And now these words are coming back to haunt.
You know, Kerry has more credibility on this with foreign leaders than George Bush does. I mean, you look at what happened yesterday, that Tony Blair came out and said, basically tried to kind of, you know, push the United States further by saying that the Iraqis will have a say over kind of military maneuvers or, you know, military operations.
He tried
to put the kibosh on it pretty quick, but I think it's really significant that the main ally, I mean, Tony Blair's been heavily criticized back in Europe for sticking with Bush all along, but he stuck his neck out yesterday and said, look, hang on a minute, I don't think so. At the same time that Iraqi leaders are saying, you know, maybe a year. The American troops, the coalition troops are in Iraq for another year.
And we're getting close, too, apparently, to getting a new, or at least there's somebody they're looking at now as being the possible new leader of Iraq.
I don't think people are clamoring for that job.
Well, he's close to Sistani, though. Ali al-Sistani, who's the leading Shiite cleric. And this is a guy who was jailed by Saddam Hussein in the Abu Ghraib prison.
His name is Hussein Shahristani.
Yeah.
I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that right. He was the chief scientific advisor to Iraq's Atomic Energy Commission until 1979 when Saddam took over as president. When he refused to shift his focus from nuclear energy to nuclear weaponry, Saddam had him tortured and jailed.
He was given an hour-long trial and sentenced in 1980 to 20 years in Abu Ghraib.
Yeah, when I read that, I thought, well, maybe this could be good. It could be like, you know, when Nelson Mandela came out of, you know, Robben Island jail and and then was successfully kind of led South Africa. He may have, you know, an incredible standing and you know, following and a great status inside Iraq, having gone through those 20 years.
11 years, he was in. 11 years.
And he is 11 tight. Years.
He's tight with Sistani. Apparently they're very close.
But now he's tight with Sistani, but the central question then becomes, can he unite, can he keep the peace with the Sunnis and the Kurds? Because that's the other, you know, there are two other prominent groups. Obviously, Saddam was a Sunni, marginally. And, you know, there is the question of whether or not the Sunnis are going to be upset about, and that's going to get to the whole question of whether the military and de-bathification, which was Paul Bremer's contribution to the occupation.
They had picked the name of a Sunni to be, this guy was president, right? President. Prime Minister. They picked a Sunni to be president.
Well, let's hope he's cool, put it that way. Straight ahead, the Presidential Daily Briefing, Recovery Corner, and up next, we talk to a former Marine about abuses in Iraq. Stay with us. This is Air America Radio.
In 1988, a weed appeared in the garden when George Herbert Walker Bush was sworn in as the 41st President of the United States. Over the next 4 years, that weed grew into a big bush. After a war with Iraq, a deficit buildup, and job losses at home, the people stormed the garden and chopped that bush down. But the conservative roots spread deep and wide and grew back. That little sprout grew into an even bigger bush. The son, George W. Bush, the 43rd President of the United States. Now, 4 years later, after another war with Iraq, another deficit buildup, and staggering job losses at home, it's time to weed the garden again. But this bush can't be trimmed. This bush needs to be ripped out by the roots. Help us weed the garden and go to our website at www.waxbush2004.com. It's time to wax bush once and for all.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman, the nation's top cop. U.S. Attorney General John Ashcroft will be joined by the leadership of the FBI at the news conference today to update the nation on intelligence they've received on possible threats against the United States. American intelligence says the latest information appears credible and that something catastrophic could happen this summer. Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry calls the president's foreign policy arrogant and inept. Kerry was stumping for votes in Oregon, where he also told students yesterday there would be no need for a draft in a Kerry administration. Meanwhile, President Bush is getting ready to roll out new campaign ads that the John Kerry camp is already calling one big lie. The Republicans now charge Kerry would repeal the Patriot Act in a new 32nd spot. The Democrats say that's not true. He voted for it. And a leading figure in the U.S. Conference of Mayors and the first black mayor of the New Jersey's second largest city, Jersey City Mayor Glenn Cunningham, is dead. He suffered a massive heart attack last night at 60.
Hey, son, how's it going?
Pretty good, I guess.
Oh, no, that doesn't sound so good. What's wrong?
Well, it's Memorial Day weekend, and I was looking forward to 3 days off.
Yeah?
But my manager just called, and he wants me to work on Monday.
Oh.
Yeah. So while you enjoy your day off, I'll be bagging groceries at the store.
Well, son, we can still have fun.
How?
Well, I'm gonna grill some great-tasting steaks, right?
Yeah.
So I'll come to the store. I'll get some Kingsford charcoal, and you can bag my groceries. Yes, that's it. It'll be fun.
Memorial Day is here, and it's time to break out the barbecue. So grab a bag of Kingsford charcoal and head for the backyard. You'll get the great flavor of Kingsford charcoal, and you'll get the summer started right, which will make any day a day to remember. Kingsford, because taste is everything.
I'll just see who that is then.
Oh no! South American killer bees! They're going for my eyes!
A swarm of killer bees. That's one thing you don't want in your house. One thing you do want in your house is a better looking roof with Plitanium Plywood from Georgia Pacific. Other roof sheathing materials can swell at the edges, creating an unsightly checkerboard pattern under your shingles. Plectanium roofs provide a more uniform surface. Plectanium plywood. Build it better.
Hi, I'm Al Franken. Wednesday on the O'Franken Factor, we'll be talking to the folks at Legendary Buster's Barbecue in Lakeway, Texas, where they love their barbecue and they hate their liberals. This should be fun. Good ribbon. Wednesday on the O'Franken Factor.
Woohoo! Good morning, it's Mark Maron. This morning's edition on Air America Radio. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott.
Let's take a break into This Land Is My Land. This Land Is Our Land.
That's great. That's great. I feel, I don't know.
Liberal.
I don't know. That's liberal. Joy. Banjo is such a fun.
I feel Appalachian.
Fun instrument. Yeah. Let's take the awkward shift here. For nearly 12 years, Staff Sergeant Jimmy Massey was a hardcore Marine. For 3 years, he trained fellow Marines in boot camp, and he went to Iraq. And what he witnessed there and what he was involved in changed him forever. He joins us now from Waynesville, North Carolina, to tell us about it. Jimmy, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm pretty good, man. So, you know, I've been reading up on you, and you were in situations where you had to kill innocent people. And what was the situation? What were the logistics leading up to this?
Well, for you to understand the logistics, the intelligence reports that we were given at the time of the incidents with the civilians.
Yeah.
They weren't painting a perfect picture for the average Iraqi citizen. And what I mean by that is the reports were telling us that the Fedayeen and the Republican Guard had taken off their uniforms and had donned civilian clothes, and also that they were mounting guerrilla and terrorist attacks against American forces.
Uh-huh. And from their cars.
Correct.
And that, so that means that pretty much everyone was a suspect.
Correct.
And where did that order come from?
It was no order.
Oh.
There was never any order given to shoot.
And it
was just, excuse me, go ahead.
It was just a description that was given to all you guys.
Correct. Much like the terrorist reports that we receive every day.
Uh-huh. And what was the event that was sort of the cathartic event for you, where you had this this completely change of heart, this change of mind about what you're doing there?
Right. Well, I was just outside, on the outskirts of Baghdad,
mm-hmm.
And there was a demonstration that had taken place where we had opened fired on a bunch of innocent Iraqis. That was number one, and then after that, there was an incident that was near the Baghdad stadium,
mm-hmm.
and we had opened fire on a vehicle that came into our red zone, which was our zone that we opened fired. After we had opened fired on this vehicle,
yeah. We
went over and pulled the occupants out. Three of them were fatally wounded. They were dying. We called the medics, and they came over and started doing reviving resuscitation on them.
Mm-hmm.
However, one of the Iraqis that was in the car, he was unscathed, and he walked up to me. He knew that obviously I was in some sort of command. And he walked up to me and he said, "Why did you shoot us? You know, why did you kill my brother?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't do anything to you. We're not terrorists." That was the turning point.
Right. And did this happen fairly regularly, Jimmy? I mean, with these type of outfits that you were in?
Yes. And especially during that 48-hour time period. When I came back stateside, I started doing a lot of investigation and research into it to see, you know, if this was just an isolated case within my platoon. However, I watched a CNN report shortly after I came back stateside, and it was a documentation with a journalist with the 5th Marines in Baghdad. This journalist and his crew, they actually captured on film these Marines accidentally lighting up a civilian car. And
lighting up means blowing up the car.
Lighting up means discharging your weapon.
Okay, okay. And they caught that on film, so you
That's
knew
correct.
That it wasn't just your company, but it was happening throughout the country with Marines.
That's correct. And it wasn't just an isolated case with my platoon.
And how long did this go on for? I mean, was it because that you guys were just in such anxiety and so sure that there might be weapons or a bomb in every car that, you know, that people were kind of trigger-happy or what?
I think it was a combination of fatigue. Some of us have been up for 48 hours. A constant bombardment with these intelligence reports, much like what we have here mm-hmm. in America every day as far as the terrorist alerts, and anxiety. You know, when you combine all of those things and the fog of war,
sure.
It has a way of playing on the psyche.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Jimmy Massey, feeling as you do, which I get the impression is kind of somewhat, you know, repulsed at your own behavior, having killed innocent civilians in Iraq when you were stationed there as a Marine, what do you feel about the U.S. military and U.S. government leadership that you had while you were there and the leadership that still exists?
Whoops.
Wow, that was weird. I guess we lost Jimmy Massey.
Hey, I was polite.
Well, I don't think it was intentional.
But I think the point that he makes is kind of very it's interesting. I mean, I think to struggle with, you know, taking orders, and I mean, clearly there was a shoot to kill policy or mentality, even if there wasn't a clear order. The fact is, those guys in the situation he was in outside Baghdad were very scared. And at the time of many of these incidents that were reported in the international press of innocent civilians killed, that, you know, Marines were incredibly frightened.
It just sounds horrible. He's back on the line if you want.
Sorry, Jimmy, I'll just ask you a question. Jimmy Massey, when you were stationed in Iraq as a Marine and you killed what you then realized were kind of innocent civilians, you obviously struggled with this. What do you think of the U.S. military and U.S. government leadership that you had at the time and the leadership as it stands now? Are they serving the soldiers well?
I'll go ahead and start with the first part. I'm going to give you the mentality of the Marines that was in my platoon from the get-go, from the time that we left 29 Palms and arrived in Kuwait and went into Iraq. And then I'm going to speculate on the events that have taken place with the mindset of the soldiers and the Marines currently. But that last part is just speculation. I have kept in contact with some of my Marines, and they've told me about different things that the battalion has been doing, and some Marines that have passed away. That have been in my battalion. First part, every Marine that was in my platoon, we believed in what the President of the United States was telling us.
Mm-hmm.
And we believed that, they had weapons of mass destruction, Saddam was definitely a threat to the rest of the free world. So we had bought into all that, and, you know, with the combination of the 9/11, when you throw that on top of Saddam, the Marines were pumped up and they were ready to go in and do their job, and they backed the President of the United States.
And how do you think that your former colleagues feel now?
I think that the enlisted in the prison and with a staff sergeant in Florida, I think that were being used as a scapegoat.
Right.
They're being used as a scapegoats in the fact that, things roll downhill very quickly.
Right. And so you're saying that it pretty much goes all the way up to the top, and they're using the guys on the ground, who were lower level to blame.
That's correct.
Thank you for joining us, Jimmy. I really appreciate it. I wish we had a little more time, and stay well. That was Jimmy Massey. He was a Marine in Iraq who was involved in killing some innocent people that changed his mind and his life. We want to hear from all you veterans and military personnel out there. You heard Sergeant Massey. Is he a bad apple, a turncoat, or will you just like him? Give us a call at 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. We'll put you on the air at Air America Radio.
This invitation may change the way you look at life if you are dependent on glasses or contact lenses to see at a distance or for reading. Customized laser vision treatments that correct the unique imperfections in your vision 25 times more accurately than other methods are now available at New York Presbyterian Hospital, Weill Cornell Medical Center. Dr. Sandra Belmont, director of the cornea service at Cornell Medical College, provides the most advanced and precise FDA-approved wave scan-driven corrections to safely improve eyesight for people with problems reading and seeing at a distance, and help throw away your glasses and contact lenses. To see what you've been missing and learn more about wave scan-driven and no-touch laser vision procedures, call Dr. Belmont at 212-746-2020. That's 212-746-2020, or visit us at www.cornelllaservision.com.
Mom, can you take me to Supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl, who we haven't even met yet, and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to Supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the
weekend. Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love, usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where's the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Good morning. It is now 46 past the hour. We're taking calls from veterans and military personnel about, killing people. That finding out that you've killed civilians, or finding out that having a sort of catharsis in your conscience and how you deal with that, and what the right or the wrong thing to do is in relation to that. 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. Right now we have our presidential daily briefing. This is the highly classified document that comes from the intelligence community that goes to the president every day. Today's PDP is called Al-Qaeda Planning Terrorist Attack. No, really, honest.
Mr. President, it's come to our attention that Al-Qaeda is preparing to mount a large-scale terrorist attack this summer. We would advise you not to roll your eyes, sigh, or listen to Donald Rumsfeld this time. Okay, let's cut the crap. We know you don't really read these. We also know that any briefing longer than 50 words goes right into the presidential shredder. But we're serious about this Al-Qaeda thing this time. It's an actual threat. People could get hurt. We know you think everyone in the intelligence community is a moron, and you may have a point, but just remember the August 6, 2001 PDB. That was before 9/11. Remember? With the planes? Please. Please, just read this briefing. Don't let Condi bury this one. We are not yanking your chain. If you're traveling this summer, you might want to stay out of Atlanta. Respectfully, Office of Homeland Security.
Uh-oh. I don't know about the rest of you, but I was, you know, this Jimmy Massey thing's going to stay with me for a minute. I got to be honest with you.
Oh, I know. It's like it's hard to jump right to comedy because you could tell it was really, really bearing down on his heart.
Yeah, it really was. And you know... You don't condone the killing of innocent people under any circumstances.
I don't think you get over it as well either. Yeah. I mean, these guys, there's a lot of people who are coming out of the military right now. He had an honorable discharge, I think, didn't he?
He
came out in December with full severance, honorably discharged. And, you know, he reminded me of the guy from the Veterans Administration that we spoke to, you know, some weeks ago before we went on air, who told us, you know, that the guys who were coming out of the military were kind of very unhappy with the lack of counseling and the lack of help that the government was giving them with basically post-traumatic stress syndrome. That's what these guys get. That's what this guy has.
And also he has the, you know, his conscience, you know, eating him. Jeff in Florida. Jeff, how are you?
Oh, good morning.
Hey, what's on your mind, man?
Well, that's one of the what I find is lacking in the news coverage is the fact that the civilians get killed, our military personnel get killed, and foreign fighters get killed, whether it's Iraqis or whoever. I mean, that's just a consequence of war, and it seems like we have a war with no consequences.
And you were in which branch of the military, sir?
I was in the Marines for 7 years.
Mm-hmm. And you're saying that so many people are uninformed about, you know, the real horrors of war on a day-to-day basis?
Certainly. I served in the first Persian Gulf War.
Mm-hmm.
And, we didn't get the same news now.
Yeah.
But, it's a horrible thing. It's a terrible thing for somebody to be subjected to, whether they're civilian or military or whatever. It's not a normal circumstance for people to live in.
Sure. Do you think that Jimmy Massey is doing the right thing by speaking out?
You know, it's hard for me to say. I don't know what circumstances he was in, but if that's what he feels, then that's his right.
Absolutely. Thanks for calling, Jeff. I appreciate it. James in Manhattan, how are you?
How are you?
Hey, I'm pretty good, man.
I was in the 101st Airborne.
Okay.
1968, I gave up a student deferment because the poor and lower middle class are fighting a war.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a student deferment. I was in college. I gave it up.
Uh-huh.
And let them draft me. And then I volunteered.
And what happened over there?
Well, I was in 68, I got out, and you do a year bid, and that was enough for me.
Right, and to this day, it's still, is it hard to live with?
Well, yes and no. I mean, you adjust to things.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, sure. But you
did. But give a guy like Kerry 3 Purple Hearts, a Bronze Star, and a Silver Star,
yeah.
And who the hell is it all you against him?
Right.
My brother-in-law. Went in and got, although he didn't get a Silver Star, he was nominated for one, okay?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's tough.
Yeah, and you felt you felt bad for Jimmy, right? You could definitely connect with where he was coming from.
Oh, I feel bad for him. I can live with him.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks a lot, James. I appreciate your call. It's a pretty rough topic.
You know, it seems like you can draw a line between some of the things that Jimmy Massey talked about and some of the things that John McCain is talking about in terms of the American people needing to understand that we need to make, if we believe we're in a war, we need to make sacrifices.
Absolutely. We'll be back with comedy. Recovery Corner's coming up. Thanks.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How are you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
Mine too. But who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
It's night. You have heartburn. You want fast relief. Zantac works fast.
When first used, Prilosec OTC works not so fast. Zantac works right when you need it.
Hello, relief.
Prilosec's label says it may take 1 to 4 days to fully work. So, what would you choose?
Estimated time of relief, 1 to 4 days.
Prilosec, nah. Zantac's for people who hate to wait, especially at night. Use as directed.
Needless to say, I was anxious to be 110 miles offshore and jumping off a boat in the open ocean.
Jim Ray is a marine biologist who has been working with a national marine sanctuary called the Flower Gardens, deep in the Gulf of Mexico.
The Flower Garden banks are a very unique set of reefs. About 55% of the surface area is covered with living coral.
And while his work is not surprising, what might be is who he works for, Shell.
It just gives me a very different view and approach on the environment. Yeah, it has become an old friend.
Protecting this magnificent area is something people like Jim have been doing for over 30 years.
With this kind of protection, it'll probably be there 100 years from now for people to still enjoy.
And while Shell will continue to focus on energy, that will never be its only focus.
As long as I'm still allowed to dive, and I'm not too old to climb back on a boat, I'll probably have the opportunity to go back to places like the Flower Gardens.
To find out more, see the Shell report at www.shell.com.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Well, I should say no.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
Good morning, Wednesday people. Mark Maron here on Morning Sedition with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. You're listening to Air America Radio. If you love Air America, you can go to our website, airamericaradio.com, and get yourself some Air America underpants.
How about that?
Or thongs.
Thongs, cups, mugs with the Air America logo. And you never know, it might become a collector's item eventually.
If you have a pet, you can get them in a little cute dog coat.
Yeah, they do have
different colors. Not only do they have a dog coat, but they have multi different colored dog coats. It's an amazing selection.
Beautiful. I am Mark, and I am an alcoholic.
Hi, Mark.
Hello, Mark.
In Recovery Corner, I like to reach out to fellow 12-steppers who are struggling to stay clean and sober today. As always, I'm reaching out to my sponsee, whether he likes it or not. George W., you're my guy. A recent study says that the Iraq War has boosted interest in Al-Qaeda, and now there are as many as 18,000 members. That's a lot of coffee, cigarettes, and hate. You understand? And who is their number one recruiting tool? You are, George W. Your reckless behavior is causing the exact thing you were trying to prevent. When are you going to realize you don't live in a bubble, my friend? Your power binging is like a crabgrass eating away at the lawn of democracy and sobriety. Starting today, think about what you can do to make 18,000 new friends. You know, people that don't want to poison our water supply or blow up our bridges or undermine our entire way of life. Get out of your head, George W., and think about someone else. There's no I in change, but there is in terrorist recruits. Two I's, actually. Two. Remember, every day is a gift. That's why they call it the present. Bend your knees before you bend your elbow. Keep the plug in the jug. Think. First things first, if you got one foot in yesterday and the other one tomorrow, you're peeing on today. Don't drink. That's for everybody who's trying to stay off the sauce. Right. Stay sober.
It's terrorism, not terrorism. You should stick that one in there.
No, I'm just trying to imitate our commander-in-chief who's behind your head.
Thumbs up.
That's good, too.
I just feel good if Mark says it's good. I guess carry that around with me all day.
Record it. You'll be quizzed.
Can I get that in writing?
Sure. Then I'm going to get the hardcore hardline... 12-steppers are like, don't make fun of the slogans. The slogans are there for a reason.
That's right.
You can email us at sedition at airamericaradio.com. And God knows I embrace all of the love and hate and criticism that comes across, you know, because it shows the diversity of our listening public.
Okay. He says, but then you undermine it with that demonic laugh. Yeah, you sound quite plausible until you go.
it's beautiful and amazing, the minutiae that people will get worked up about.
It doesn't help that you're wielding that cleaver either.
Usually I just use the cleaver to cut off my own fingers. So, I mean, I'm not that dangerous. So, what I was saying in the recovery corner, you know, stands, you know, I mean, 18,000 new terrorist recruits in this report by the IISS.
The International Institute of Strategic Studies in London.
I want people to know that, you know, this president is not good on terrorism. He is good for terrorism. And, you know, since 9/11, you know, there's more terrorist activity, okay? You know, 4 years prior to September 11th, there were 8 attacks, 349 fatalities in 7 nations. Post 9/11, there have been 14 attacks, 599 fatalities in 10 nations. Iraq is now a terrorist manufacturing plant, and believe me, we're going to talk more about that.
More about that in the hour ahead. In that final hour of Morning Sedition, the presidential palm pilot, the morning devotional, plus actor and writer Eric Bogosian talks about talk radio and about you, our listeners. Don't go away. This is Air America Radio.
Admit it. You like things in life that are the best, like the best radio station, the best fishing holes, and, of course, the best place to buy wireless phones, Radio Shack. Right now, get a great deal on a Motorola T730 color screen flip phone from Verizon Wireless at a new low price of just $39.99. You want the best? You found it at Radio Shack. Offer good with credit approval through 5/27. Requires 2-year agreement with Verizon Wireless. $15 activation, $175 early termination fees apply. Details in store.
Look at this one, Dad. Like new, best offer.
No, honey, that's a private owner. I'd feel better if we went to a Ford dealer for a quality check certified pre-owned Ford.
Certified?
Yep. 115 points of inspection and 6-year, 75,000-mile powertrain limited warranty coverage.
Oh, we can't get that from a private owner.
Or roadside assistance and 3.9% financing.
You're right, Dad. If it's not certified,
it's just used. Not all buyers will qualify for Ford credit financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by June 30th, 2004. See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The Bush administration wants to put Americans on notice, but there's no definitive information prompting the need to raise the national alert level. That's the opinion of Homeland Security Chief Tom Ridge, who hit the morning television news shows. Ridge has confirmed that intelligence officials received information about possible terrorist attacks on the U.S. this summer over the last several weeks.
The intelligence that we've received over the past several weeks is just, again, a series of general non-specific threats against the United States. And as I think we discussed probably 6-8 weeks ago, since Homeland Security is responsible for coordinating a national effort to make us smarter and more secure using people and technology, we pulled together a variety of agencies within the federal government to say, what are we going to do?
Department of Homeland Security Chief Tom Ridge on CNN this morning. Later today, U.S. Attorney General John Ashcroft and FBI Director Robert Mueller will hold a news conference during which additional information on what they've learned from intelligence will be revealed. According to a published report, most political pundits now believe that President Bush is facing an uphill battle to win greater American public support going into the general election in November. Those pundits out of the nation's capital say the president now finds himself in an uncomfortable situation at the worst possible moment in the midst of his re-election effort. Many say the success of his campaign may largely hinge on the changing events in Iraq, which remain tenuous at best. Several political analysts believe that Bush's Monday night speech and others to come on Iraqi transition of power will do little to boost his poll numbers here in the U.S. President Bush Tuesday sought international support for the transfer of power in Iraq on the heels of a 30-minute address in an issue Monday night. Bush said yesterday that the European leaders who opposed the war now share the same goal of a budding democracy. Tuesday. Bush took time out Tuesday to make contact with French President Jacques Chirac to win his support for the transition. Bush said that Chirac wants to make sure that the transfer of sovereignty to the interim government is a real one. Great Britain is painting a different picture when it comes to the issue of sovereignty in Iraq. Prime Minister Tony Blair said that an interim government running the nation from July 1st will have the final political control over foreign troops. That's in sharp contrast from the picture President Bush has described. Blair, Bush's strongest European ally, said Tuesday that if there's a political decision as to whether to go into Fallujah in a particular way, that must receive the consent of the Iraqi government. Blair was making a reference to recent American attacks on rebels in that city. And the Holy City of Najaf was a scene of more deadly violence overnight, stemming from clashes between U.S. troops and Shiite militiamen loyal to Muqtada al-Sadr. There were no immediate reports of U.S. casualties. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Worry is emotional torture. It consumes you and robs you of happiness and peace of mind. Anxiety is worry gone out of control, and you can't help it. It tears at your nerves and rips at your heart. It makes your mind race in circles and keeps you from enjoying the moment. Sometimes people turn to medication or alcohol for relief, but medications can have negative side effects, and some medications, as well as alcohol, can be addictive, causing more problems. Anxiety and the worry that goes with it ruins relationships and careers and tears families apart. And people that love you, they tell you to just stop it, that you're doing it to yourself, but you can't because you don't know how. I can show you how. I'm Lucinda Bassett, founder of the Midwest Center for Stress and Anxiety. Please, let me send you a powerful free tape that will provide you with insight and hope. Call 1-800-600-8892, and I'll send you this wonderful free tape. That's 1-800-600-8892.
Weeds like dandelion, clover, and hundreds of others can stand between you and a thick green lawn. That's why Bayer Advanced created Triple Action Lawn Fertilizer Plus Weed Control. It does two jobs at once. It kills four times as many types of weeds as the leading brand, while it feeds at every level. The grass, the roots, plus it fortifies the soil for a thicker, deep-down green that lasts longer. Without the weeds, guaranteed. Bayer Advanced. Better thinking, better results. Available at Lowe's and other garden retailers.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free better sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
Listen to Air America Radio whenever and wherever you want. We're available 24/7 on the internet. Just hit our website, www.airamericaradio.com. All you need to do is complete a quick online registration. Once that's done, you're ready to take us live. Air America uses the Real One player for our streaming. www.airamericaradio.com. Streaming now, live, 24/7. www.airamericaradio.com.
Hey, I'm Mark Maron with Stu Ellicott and Mark Riley here on Air America Radio. It's 6 minutes past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Today, Wednesday, we've got Eric Bogosian coming in just a little while. Plus, Barbara Streisand is making last-minute revisions to today's liberal agenda. That's all coming up. Right now, I'm joined by Mark Riley and Stu Ellicott. Good morning, people.
Hello.
What's good about it?
I don't know, dude. It's a little chilly outside. There's bad news on the doorstep about terrorism. I've got an email here, a guy yelling at me from his email, kind of. If you really want to fear something, then fear the universal enslavement of mankind via brainwave entertainment and mind control that is already well underway. I'm with you, dude. I am surprised, given your loudly proclaimed commitment to doing what the mainstream media has failed to do, and that is simply tell the truth as a free media in a real democracy is supposed to do. If what you have done so far is any indication of the courage to stand up and tell the truths that the mainstream media has backed away from, then you've got feet of clay just like the rest. Get some spine. Mind control, more than any other factor, will determine the outcome of the election. Mind control is a very broad and vague bit of business, but I am on board with you, my friend. Mind control, like elevating the terrorist threat to orange without being specific about what we're supposed to be afraid of. Mind control, like the Day After Tomorrow movie. Mind control, like eating McDonald's. Mind control, like telling everybody they have mental health problems and should be on Prozac. Mind control is like so, it's invasive, it's completely, you're completely right. What I'm trying to figure out is if I free my mind completely, then what is true and what isn't true? Is only what is going on in my apartment the truth? Is everything outside of that a falsehood? I'm on board with you, man, but you know, if I just go with this sort of vague idea that, you know, mind control is the real problem, my only point of reference is my own mind, and if that's being controlled, maybe I'm being screwed with.
Mark, is that lady what? In the white coat with the injections? Huh? Is she here for you?
Is there a problem?
No, sorry. He has to stay for another hour.
I'm just trying to bond with the guy. He's right, you know. Right now, I don't know if what I'm saying is me or if I'm being controlled to say it, because on some level, I bond with these kind of cats, because especially today, 18,000 new al-Qaeda terrorists because of George Bush. He's now, you know, created the largest terrorist force in the world against us because of his actions and his policies, and now they're probably going to raise the terror threat up to orange. And when that happens, believe me, the thing about mind control is the reason why mind control works on any level is because people are paralyzed with fear. And when people are paralyzed with fear, they will do whatever you tell them to do eventually. And like when I'm in fear, it's hard to decide what is true and what isn't true. When I get this terrorist, the thought of dying, you know, all, at the same time as everybody else, really screws with my head. I want my death to be special. I don't want us all to die at the same time in some sort of biological attack or some sort of weird radiated, you know, it really screws me up because, you know, when I die, I want everyone to go, Mark's gone, and be the only one.
I can't say anything. I'm paralyzed with fear.
Okay, so what do we do about this? We have Homeland Security Secretary Tom Ridge saying today that the new information on a terrorist threat against the U.S. talks about an attack, but that there's no need to raise the national alert level. Now, Mark is completely terrified, okay? Says he's
I live in Queens, you know, and that, I'm not saying anything about, you know, the community of Queens, but just the fact that I got to take the train under the river every day makes me nervous, and I'd gotten rid of that fear for a while.
But how do we live in the present? How do we disengage from this? Because here you have somebody, you know, high up in the administration saying that they're not going to raise the current alert status from yellow, which is the mid-level one now of the five that we have, and they're trying to have it both ways. Right now, says Tom Ridge, who's on television this morning, there's no need to put the entire country on a national alert, meaning a higher alert than we're on.
Just Mark Maron.
Yeah, but what he is saying, yeah, without using the words, is but there's just only a need just to keep on talking about a terrorist threat that will never go away so that everybody stays paranoid.
Yeah, I think that I agree with another emailer that I'm not going to go into right now, but I tend to agree that there's a certain amount of they can do this anytime they want. They can, and I'm not saying there's a conspiracy, you know, but even like they decide, like for some reason they're not putting the terror alert up, but they're telling us that it's a really bad threat, and they put the terror alert up for less than this. They're just, I think on some level the administration is screwing with our heads. What about the timing? This is like, what, 2 days after the president had a failed speech, you know, to try to convince the country that he's doing the right thing in Iraq? It makes no sense to me other than, like, you know, just remember who's in charge. I'm not even going to change the color. Just remember.
There is a whole good cop, bad cop thing going on. Because, you know, Ridge said this, some of this stuff on CBS, the early show. But at the same time, the news wires are quoting a U.S. official saying, there is clearly a steady drumbeat of information that they are going to attack and hit us hard. So that's all anonymous. But yet the guy with the name, Tom Ridge, says, you know what, there's no need to go on a higher alert. So on the other hand, it's like, oh, my God, scare them with the kind of unsourced, anonymously given information, drumbeat, terrorist attack, it's going to be big, we don't know when, we've been hearing this stuff for months now. And then Tom Ridge going, but it's okay, it's sort of okay. It's like, so it's like, it's all that holding the hands up.
Just be afraid, and we're,
here's,
you know,
daddy.
And we're daddy,
here's daddy,
right? And why should we trust these guys? I mean, these are the guys that made terrorism worse. They have not, like you were talking about on the break, Riley, it's like, you know, if they know where they are, they hear the chatter, you know, focus a little bit and get the guys.
Well, how did they get here? Assuming that they're not domestic terrorists, like, what is that guy's name that they executed? I'm thinking, yeah, Tim McVeigh. And the other guy, Nichols, Terry Nichols, I guess, is still on trial or whatever. I mean, assuming that these guys are here from someplace other than the United States, and because now they've indicated that a group of terrorists already deployed are preparing to launch this major attack, if our internal security is so good, how did they get in here and be deployed in the first
place? Right, this is the guy who said he's tough on terror, right? This is the president, this is the administration that is building the entire premise for us to reelect him, because he's the war president. He may be the war president, but his war has created more terrorism. So if he says he's tough on terror and the war president, then it's meaningless. All he is the guy that made the world more unsafe for everybody to live in, period.
Here's what I'm most worried about. One of the things I'm worried about, that George Bush would try and use the 18,000 new potential terrorists as part of his, hey, I did create jobs. Those 2.3 million I said I were good, 18,000, didn't say they were in the U.S.
Hmm. Well, the thing is that, you know, Al-Qaeda, in mathematical evidence, in reported evidence, that terrorist activity has gotten worse since 9/11.
More frequent, absolutely.
Yeah. In the 4 years prior to September 11th, 8 attacks, 349 fatalities, 7 nations, Afghanistan, Egypt, Indonesia, Kenya, Philippines, Tanzania, and Yemen. In the three years after September 11th, you know, not counting attacks in Afghanistan and Iraq, 14 attacks, 599 fatalities, 10 nations, Indonesia, Kenya, Kuwait, Morocco, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, Spain, Tunisia, Turkey, Yemen. I mean, it's like the guy has, like, opened, he's created this terrorist manufacturing plant out of Iraq. There was no terrorist connection within Iraq. The one connection they had was this guy Zarqawi, who's accused of killing Nick Berg, and he didn't even have a connection. He was in the no-fly zone. They left him there. They could have killed him 3 times. They left him there to serve their political end, which was to go into Iraq, which was not a terrorist state, which was not an imminent threat to the United States, and now they've created a front for international terrorism, along with Afghanistan, along with the fact they haven't caught Osama bin Laden, who's still dispatching orders. I mean, it stinks. The whole thing stinks. It plays into my conspiracy brain and also into my non-conspiracy brain. This guy has destroyed the climate of the planet with terrorism. He's unleashed a plague.
Like, most people have left brain and right brain, and you have non-conspiracy one side and you have conspiracy the other side.
I think
everybody does
if you let it.
That's good, though.
But, you know, Bush is amazing about now. I mean, he's pushing on as if his Monday speech was a raving success. He's still trying to marshal support. He talked yesterday to Jacques Chirac of France about it and said, we had a great conversation. Didn't accomplish much, but we had a great conversation.
I don't believe that.
What? That
they had a great conversation. He just said they did. We haven't heard from the French leader himself.
Well, I mean, see, for me, it's like if you had a great conversation, I would think that would indicate a breakthrough of some kind. The French are on board. They've liked our draft resolution. They're going to send troops. They're going to do something to help.
Nobody is on board.
Nobody's on board. And, of course, Bush has not yet conceded, and this is something that the French and the Germans, to an extent, have a concern about. The French and the Germans want their businesses to have a shot at some of the money that's going to be spent rebuilding Iraq.
Of course.
It's business. It's dollars and cents. Okay?
And they got screwed out of some contracts before the war.
And they want their money.
They want their money. And also there's an issue of how much oil business was going to be run through the euro and how much was going to be run, because the sanctions only enabled America to do it deviously through, you know, sort of like, you know, Halliburton franchises.
Yep.
Through other countries that were still doing business with Iraq. But, I mean, that's what's great about Kerry, is, like, hopefully Kerry will step forward and he'll be more trustworthy to the international community. He might be able to rally some, you know, support internationally to you know, do what needs to be done in Iraq, to actually hand it over to a sovereign Iraq.
He certainly has, you're absolutely right, he certainly has much more credibility than George Bush. And the two sticking points, I mean, everybody's been saying, you know, George Bush's plan, his five-point plan, is like, it was the Durr plan. We all know those 5 points. If he'd come out and said that, you know, a year ago and focused people's attention on it, it would have looked as though he was taking some initiative leading. Now we all know that all the issues that he drew up in his plan, but the remaining points that everybody is failing to agree on are the what to do with the oil reserves and the military. Will Iraq have political control over what happens with the military? And it was very interesting yesterday that one of the Iraqi leaders said that, you know, U.S. troops will be out. We need them out within a year.
Right.
That is not what the administration has given no indication. We're hearing 2006 bandied around.
So ahead, Eric Bogosian is checking out the latest FCC rulings just to be safe. Plus, we've got the president's Palm Pilot up next right here on Air America Radio.
In 1988, a weed appeared in the garden when George Herbert Walker Bush was sworn in as the 41st President of the United States. Over the next 4 years, that weed grew into a big bush. After a war with Iraq, a deficit buildup, and job losses at home, the people stormed the garden and chopped that bush down. But the conservative roots spread deep and wide and grew back. That little sprout grew into an even bigger bush. The son, George W. Bush, the 43rd President of the United States. Now, 4 years later, after another war with Iraq, another deficit buildup, and staggering job losses at home, it's time to weed the garden again. But this bush can't be trimmed. This bush needs to be ripped out by the roots. Help us weed the garden and go to our website at www.waxbush2004.com. It's time to wax Bush once and for all.
My name is Kathy, and I met my husband Michael at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband Tom through eHarmony.com.
My name's Jennifer, and I met my husband Jack on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages. Dating services give you a picture in a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
My name is Kathy, and I met my husband, Michael, at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband, Tom, through eHarmony.com.
My name's Jennifer, and I met my husband, Jack, on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages. Dating services give you a picture in a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
Twenty past the hour. I'm Mark Maron here with Sue and Mark on Morning's Edition on Air America Radio. Thanks for reminding me. This email just reminded me about something. I'll read it in a second. First, let's do the... What is that? Do I hear a fax machine?
No, no, that's a song.
It's the music.
It's the music.
That's the Pixies.
It's the trance section.
The Breeders, right. The part of the Pixies. Yeah, there was half the Pixies there.
The Fertile Pixies.
The Deal Sisters. Presidential Palm Pilot. It's my guy in the Oval Office has hacked into the Presidential Palm Pilot for his schedule, as he does every day when he's, you know, replacing the gumballs in the little bowl. Here's President's schedule for today, May 26th, 8 a.m. Is it April or May? It's April.
May.
It's May? Right, May.
May.
8 a.m. Wake up. Stay on message.
Stay in the right month.
Stay on message. Abu Ghraib. Abu Ghraib. Abu Garbab. Abu Gobble Gobble. No, just say jail. 9 a.m. Fire diction coach. 10:55 a.m. Meet with President of Gabon, Oval Office. Tell him the United States will be happy to prop up his brutal African dictatorship just as soon as they find oil. Noon, lunchtime fun. Hide dog biscuit inside meatloaf. Again, suppress laughter until presidential food taster finally notices. 1 p.m., face Mecca. Pray to Allah. Don't tell Ashcroft. Don't tell anybody. 3 p.m., rock'em sock'em robots with Cheney. Note, I get to be the blue one this time. 7 p.m., proposed doubling health care benefits for all chin injuries. Stupid bike. 9 p.m., lights out. Abu Ghraib. Abu Gamba. Gaba Gaba Hey. Isn't it nice that the president might be riffing the Ramones as he trickles off to... trickles off? As he falls to sleep? Drifts off, that's it. I'm always bad with my little things. So anyway, the things that you're supposed to know because everybody says them. Yeah, words. Yeah, words.
It's an unconscious bond. It's sort of an affinity for George Bush that you'll never, ever, ever fess up to.
It's just having to talk for a long, long time. Hermann Göring, who you might be familiar with from the Nazi thing, once said...
The Nazi thing?
In order to, maintain power and get people to do what you... I'm pretty sure that's what it's referring to. A guy sent this in. He's quoting Robert Reich's book, who used it, who quoted Hermann Göring. And I've read this before. Göring said at the Nuremberg trials, all you have to do is tell them they are being attacked and denounce the pacifists for their lack of patriotism and exposing the country to danger. It works the same in every country. That's how you get people to do your bidding and maintain power over them.
So that's why Ridge was on the Today Show and CBS and all these other things this morning.
Frighten them and make them and divide them by causing them to hate their own. Like by hating liberals or by hating, people and attaching liberals to being, helping the terrorists and that kind of stuff. That, that creates division within the country and everybody's afraid. So everyone's distracted and will, most people will listen to those who they think are in charge.
Mm. The scary thing, I for one hate shopping malls. Okay. No, I can't stand them.
I get exhausted. I get overwhelmed.
I just never liked them. For me, and I think for many men, they are just these sinkholes of the damned when it comes to people going in and shop. Well, they're saying that shopping malls may be one of the soft targets that the terrorists deployed inside the United States may try and hit.
How can they do that to us? How can they be that vague? Shopping malls.
Yeah.
Does that include strip malls? Does it have to have a food court? I mean, what does that mean? It's like, it means nothing.
Has to have a Williams and Sonoma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just means like, we got to be afraid. Is IKEA part of that? Is Home Depot? What about Home Depot? What about Walmart?
Anywhere crowded. That's basically what it means. Anywhere crowded. Anywhere where
Man, I'm already nuts on the train with the backpacks. Some days I get the daily reprieve from it.
Use a little recovery time.
This could be the first time that Mark actually comes around to the idea of wanting a scooter. I'll bring you one back from London. Then you won't ever have to go on a crowded train or a
How am I going to get under the river or over the river?
Brooklyn Bridge.
You got one to take the scooter over the
59th Street Bridge.
59th Street Bridge. Sorry, 59th Street Bridge. Don't take the Brooklyn Bridge. It'll take you too long.
But with your luck, you lose the back wheel, just like Sue did.
No.
That was months.
But what are people really willing to put up with, though? I've talked to people that say they wouldn't mind a military presence on the street forever, in the cities, like in Israel. Like,
really?
It's not unusual to see, soldiers with Uzis, on every corner, kind of keeping things, looking at stuff. I mean, would that be something you'd be willing to live with?
I see those
guys
at airports.
How about in England, though?
Yeah.
Don't they have a certain high security situation going on in the trains and anywhere? I mean, I would imagine you guys have had explosions there.
We have, but you rarely see armed guards. And I think I'm not sure the police in central London may carry weapons now, but it's very, very rare. I mean, mm-hmm. Not in Germany. If you go to Germany, you see armed guards everywhere. In France, too. In Paris, they look very menacing, the police in the center of Paris. But you do see a military presence here. I mean, I've been through...
Periodically, Port Authority or Penn Station
Penn
in New York.
It's
always surprising.
Yeah. No, I always find it freakish, and my kids always point out, what is the army doing here?
Yep.
It doesn't make me feel safer. It just makes me feel kind of angry.
On a lighter note, the band Fish... broke up.
Oh, wow.
And they were, they're wusses. They're only 20 years in. The Dead lasted almost 30, and they waited until the Fat Man died before they even, and they're still touring. Come on. The Dead, 60 albums. Fish, like 30. Come on, you guys. One of you has got to die or you've got to lose, you know.
Fish has a reunion tour planned in 06. Don't worry about it.
All right.
They'll
all right.
be back.
All right. I just think that if you're going to be a hippie road band, it's a lifetime commitment.
Oh, by the way, MTV is going to start a gay channel early next year.
Really?
Yeah. They need more money.
Well, yeah, and that is exactly the point. It's not because they really think that, you know, gay people or lesbians should have their own channel. They're salivating over disposable income worth a possible $500 billion.
Wow.
That's half a trillion.
Is this connected to the weddings?
I don't know. That's a lot of Judy Garland. That's all I can say.
I think what's happening is it's become clear that everybody loves gay people. Yeah. I mean, that's what's going on. I mean, with the
everybody loves gay people's money is what it boils down
no,
to.
No, but I mean, even people like me, I'll watch a little Queer Eye. I will. I'll watch a little Queer Eye.
Oh, no, I mean, people watch. But how many cable systems in the Deep South do you think are going to clear this new MTV channel, which is called Logo? It's going to be on Basic, by the way.
Well, you know, there's a lot of great entertainment that comes out of the world of gayness, if I can say that. That many things that you wouldn't assume are gay, and it's a secret club.
I assume many things are gay.
Exactly. Oh, so they might, you know, it might be surprising. It might, the South may love it.
Yeah, Jackson, Mississippi. I can see it now.
I had a friend in town yesterday from Mexico who's a filmmaker and writer, and he's doing a project because he says the whole world of professional football, soccer, is incredibly gay. He's done a lot of research on this in Mexico and has written a script about this.
Really?
You look at Riley. Riley's like,
you just
my hero?
You're going to just go. But, you know, yeah, apparently it's kind of, yeah, very corrupt and a, you know, a big, you know, big
wait a minute, what is gay having to do with being corrupt?
Yeah.
No, the world of professional football. I'm not saying that being gay is corrupt.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know,
professional football. We all know
football
that.
Money, you know,
like, football is being polluted with homosexuals.
Can you see? No, I'm not going to say homosexual. When it comes to corruption, I mean, look at Diego Maradona, for God's sake.
No one's saying they...
Coke problem?
A little bit of a one. But by the way, you know where he went to take the cure, don't you? Cuba. There's still more to come. On Air America Radio.
Mom, can you take me to Supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl, who we haven't even met yet, and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to Supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the
Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love. Usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where's the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Department of Homeland Security Chief Tom Ridge says there's no cause for an immediate alarm, but recent intelligence reports point to possible terrorist threats over the summer in the U.S. Attorney General John Ashcroft and FBI Director Robert Mueller will meet the press later today on the matter. It appears all uphill from here on for President Bush insofar as Washington political pundits are concerned. One of them is saying the recent negative events in Iraq, the economy points to a White House out of control, and this is a White House that loves to be able to control events. It seems Great Britain and the United States are worlds apart on the issue of Iraqi sovereignty. Bush's plan calls for some American supervision of Iraqi security forces, while Great Britain contends Iraq will be responsible for making decisions about its own security forces. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
If you eBay, or are thinking about using eBay, or just want to make lots of cash buying and selling on eBay, then grab a pen to write down an important toll-free number. Last year, entrepreneur Adam Ginsberg did over $15 million in business on eBay. He wants to send you a free tape that explains how to make fast cash on eBay. He has engineered cash-generating techniques to sell products you would never think of and massively increase the value of items without spending much money. Using his program, you could develop a steady income by building your own eBay business. If you choose, you'll never have to work in an office again. Instead, you could sit back and turn eBay into your own private cash machine. You owe it to yourself to evaluate Adam's money-making opportunity absolutely free. Call right now, 800-931-18 to get his free tape. That's 800-931-18. Don't miss this limited-time offer to secure your financial freedom. Call 800-900-3118.
Home. It's the place you like to make warm and inviting. What could be more welcoming than the aroma of fresh coffee brewing? When a coffee is Starbucks, the experience only gets richer. You'll find Starbucks coffee at your grocery store, so you can enjoy it at home. Its distinctive roasting style and rich, authentic taste show how seriously we pursue the art of coffee. Savor its aroma, then pour a cup and invite your senses to take flight. Starbucks coffee, at your grocery store.
Air America Radio. We're listening.
Hi. I wanted to let you know, according to the historian of the U.S. Supreme Court and the Secretary of the Senate, Article 2 of the Constitution, which is the oath of office, includes honorable conduct at all times. So not only are they under oath when they testify before Congress, they're also under oath when they give the State of the Union.
866-303-AAR0. Call and let it rip.
Good morning. It's Mark Maron here on Morning Sedition, Air America Radio. I'm here with Mark Riley, Sue Ellicott, our next guest. Knows a little something about talk radio, most notably thanks to his play in movie talk radio. Eric Bogosian joins us now right here in the studio. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
He said that we sounded like we had boxing gloves in here when he came in.
Like, yeah! You're standing up, which I think is a pretty interesting thing.
I feel like it keeps me energized. I'm afraid that if I sit down that I will lose interest and not focus.
Yeah.
At least there's some part of me that says, you know, that is maintaining the standing.
Yeah, it feels like that.
Yeah.
It feels like that.
But I remember I saw the movie. I didn't see the play.
Yeah.
But the intensity of that character, I mean, what did you have to go through? I mean, you must have known what talk radio was about. I mean, it is about.
I used to listen to a lot of talk radio to get ready for the film, to write the play, and then ultimately to do the film. In those days, shock jocks were a fairly new phenomenon, although Alan Berg had been assassinated out in Denver. And that actually happened when I was first working on the play, and I just kind of put it aside, and I said, oh, that's interesting, and it ended up being part of the movie as well.
So Alan Berg was a Denver DJ that was killed by
by the Aryan Nation. They actually showed up at his front yard with machine guns and killed him as he was getting out of his car going in the front. He'd just gone shopping, and they machine gunned him to death in his front yard.
I want to go
home. White power, baby.
We don't have good security.
You've got to be afraid of that, I imagine, on some level, that, you know, you're going to reach into somebody's brain and that could happen.
Well, he was a provocateur. He was definite. I mean, one of the things about talk radio is that you work it against the market. So Denver was conservative, so he took a liberal point of view. Today we're in the situation, as with Rush Limbaugh, where he takes the opposite point of view to many people. I mean, not everybody who tunes into talk radio necessarily agrees with the person who's on the radio. It's a form of entertainment to listen to this guy.
They get an anger buzz.
Yeah, or just kind of, you know, like in the case of, well, anybody, they're saying stuff that's... It's like he's hitting taboos, hitting buttons.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if you have a liberal bias and you hear this guy kind of fooling around with the right wing stuff, it's amusing to listen to.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, the fear of it. I mean, the intensity of the medium is so mind blowing. But when you did it, did you get any reaction from people, from freaks?
Well, I mean,
did you investigate the type of people that sort of like get personally involved, like, you know, people who listen to talk radio?
Well, no, you know, they're such a minority; they're not even really a part of the listening audience out there is really such a tiny fraction are the kind of people who are going to pick up the phone and call the radio station. And then among them, the guy, the producer or somebody, is they're picking out the real nut jobs to put on the air. So that, well, in this case, it maybe doesn't work that way. But, but you put somebody on who's going to be interesting for the listeners, and you got to keep the ball rolling. It's entertainment.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things about talk radio that's hard for people to understand is that it's not there for information. If you want information, you read a book, you read the newspaper. This is because it's some kind of relationship between the guy amusing, making, you know,
sure.
I mean, in the case of Rush Limbaugh, it's truly despicable because his comedy routine sent all these people off to die. And that's, I think that's horrendous.
You could do something
like that.
Well, can he be tried for that?
I don't know.
Because I'd love to judge it.
He's joking. I mean, he's in some way, he's structuring his show every day based on a comedy routine, which is one of the reasons why it's hard to make a counter to it, because nobody here is laughing. This is, I mean, ultimately, this is pretty serious. We got a serious problem in the country today, and we're trying to say things about it and do things about it. And here's this guy clowning around. Why? Well, for one thing, he gets really rich on it. He's a junkie. He needs a lot of money. You know, you got this situation, and that's, I think it's one thing people listening have a hard time getting hip to, is that these guys, Hanafi and all these characters, are making a lot of money. Major, major bucks, and they will say and do whatever they need to say or do to keep their ratings up, and it's all about ratings.
We're talking to Eric Bogosian here in the studio. Go ahead, Sue. Sorry.
But where is there any? Are you saying that there's never any responsibility? I mean, Rush Limbaugh, it's like a kind of comedy shtick.
He's a hate clown.
He's the hate clown. He sent people off, you know, to die. And you know, at what point do you have to take responsibility for that, or do you not have to? You just say, listen, it's just my act.
Well, I personally have a pretty negative point of view about all of this. This kind of medium is the message thing, where we're devolving, we're finding new lows all the time in the mass media.
That's why I'm standing upright. I want to make note of that. I am upright.
It's not like the days in the early days of broadcasting when you had certain broadcasters who really would come on and they would know so much and they would muckrake or they would
real reporting.
I don't know. I mean, that seems to be and what has happened over the years is we've all gotten used to bringing these people into our homes and relating to them as if they're our friends. So, I mean, you don't watch the evening news every night because you need the news. You watch it because you like Dan Rather or you like one of these guys.
Yeah, that's true.
You think, there's a guy, I'd like to be Dan Rather.
I want Dan Rather as
my friend.
I can talk to that guy.
Well, maybe you watch somebody else. Maybe you find somebody else.
It's always lost on me. I fail to make that connection that I watch the news because of a particular person. I don't know what it is.
Well, maybe
but
that
kind of
really
brainwashing
dry.
Kind of fails.
See, I came from a different
dry what?
Well, like the BBC. You know, and it's like somebody that you're not really watching.
I like my people personality free. Is that what you're saying?
No, sex appeal. It's not part of the BBC.
Well, no, you trying to tell me Dan Rather has sex appeal? Come on.
Well, Tom Brokaw.
These guys are sexy in some level. And also in a level of, like, I'm looking at this guy thinking, I want to be like that guy. I think whenever we like somebody a lot in the mass media, it's because in some way we see them, like, as a friend or somebody that we'd like to be like that. And
see, I come from a different generation. I came up during the Cronkite generation.
All right,
and for
me, there you go.
Cronkite was the news. I knew I'm black. I never wanted to be Walter Cronkite.
He was the truth.
Yeah, he was the guy. I mean, the day of the Kennedy assassination was the day. I was 12 years old. That was the day that Walter Cronkite became the news for me because he reacted so viscerally to the death of Walter Cronkite.
But his moral integrity was something that you wanted.
I would like
to be like that man.
Yeah.
That man emanated and continues to emanate. I think he was on here, wasn't he, like a couple of weeks ago.
He continues to be
somebody who is, you say, well, I want to be like that guy.
So you're listening to the network. That's nice.
I off and on. I mean, it's distracting because I write during the day, so I can't be listening to somebody else talking about stuff.
Are you processing a lot of this political, a lot of the stuff that's going on in the world? Is that finding its way into your work, like torture pictures and whatnot?
You know, the torture stuff, it's funny. Somebody came up to me at a party 2 weeks ago, and they said, you know, you did a bit in 1983 about how to put the electrodes under the fingernails. I used to do this sort of happy-go-lucky agent on stage. Yeah. All right, first you put it under the genitals. And then so you'll find that cavities are a good place to put the wire. And they said, you know, you were, and I used to think, this guy's saying to me, where do you get this stuff from? Well, I got it because I was a member of Amnesty International, and this is what they do. And they it'll continue to do it wherever there's power being wielded.
So. Absolutely. So you're going to hang out? We're going to take some calls?
Yep.
Beautiful. Come on back and listen to Eric Bogosian. Call us and ask a question, 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. I guess we're talking about anything. So come back to Air America Radio.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Well, I should say not.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
I'm really impressed with CortiSlim. And you know what? I like the way my clothes are starting to fit now.
I'm Dr. Greg Cinnamone. And since my field is psychology, picture this. You're getting ready for work and select a pair of pants that you couldn't come close to buttoning before. Today, they fit. That's how you know you're losing weight. But weighing yourself daily can drive you crazy. Why? Because many diet pills fake you into thinking you're losing fat when all you've lost is water weight. We tell our customers to stay off the scale and gauge your success in the mirror and by how loose your clothes are fitting. One national radio personality told me he gave up weighing himself. All he knows is, since CortiSlim, he's fitting into pants 2 inches smaller in the waist. Yes, results vary, and diet and exercise matter, but in my opinion, Dr. Talbot's CortiSlim is a true weight loss breakthrough. Stop weighing yourself and start losing the inches with CortiSlim. Call 1-800-LEAN-316, 800-LEAN-316, 800-LEAN-316.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Huh?
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
Good morning. 44 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. This is Morning Sedition. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott, and we are sitting with and taking your calls for Eric Bogosian at 866-303-AAR0. That's 866-303-2270, sedition at airamericaradio.com. But before we go to the calls, it is time now for our daily morning devotional. Dear Lord. Today we offer a prayer for the Holy Roman Catholic Church. Reports say the Catholic Church will lose 65 of its parishes in Boston due to the clergy sex abuse scandal and declining mass attendance. They could use some PR help, Lord. The Passion of the Christ was a nice start, brought in the kids, and it offered something gory and vaguely erotic for the adults as well. Catholicism is a good franchise, but they could use some fresh material. We're not talking about the sex abuse stuff. That was a bad storyline, Lord. How about this? The priests help their parishioners lead a more spiritually fulfilling and meaningful life instead of, I don't know, molesting little boys. Bit unorthodox, but I think it could catch on. Call me a dreamer. Save me a pew. Thanks, man. Amen.
Okay. I think you're just making George Bush feel better Is your nice side coming out?
He has no nice side.
I have a question about the Roman Catholic Church.
Yes.
I just have one question, which is, why wasn't the RICO Act brought in on this whole thing? I mean, they were conspiring to hide all this information, right, about the priests
for years.
And all the way up to the very high
up. Bernard Law.
So why can't you bring the RICO Act in on that stuff? It's
money.
A criminal activity. They're conspiring. Internet, they're crossing state lines. I mean,
and
they're
sort of mobsters in their own way.
I feel a movie star.
It's a good question. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing then the scope of the abuse. It was almost like it was ordained for Christ's sake.
Oh Lord, here we
go. Right. Eliza in Westchester. Eliza, what's going on?
Hey,
hi.
I listen to your station quite a bit.
Okay.
And oftentimes Randy Rhodes.
Yes.
And I do listen to the other stations for the anger buzz.
Yes.
And just to temper myself.
Nice.
However,
yes.
I don't know what you guys get paid. I know you all have a shtick, but the comment about not listening for news, I do listen for news. So could you tell me if I'm totally off base?
Sure. I don't know which comment she's referring to.
Well, I was
Eric.
Saying something like that, and I listen for news too, but I think that the personality and the way it's being delivered is an important part of it.
Oh, right.
And I think that also when you look at the, I hate these terms, right and left, but right and left, whoever's behind the Rush Limbaugh thing, they don't want the hard facts. You're never going to convince a Bushite with facts. If you can prove facts to them all day long, and they're not going to listen. They're listening for something else when they're hooking up with that Limbaugh. They're looking for anger. They're looking for basically they're
validation.
All big victims.
Yeah,
yeah. And it starts with those horrible lefties that are doing all this bad stuff to us. I don't know, but I think there's a psychological component that you have to at least acknowledge and say, this is my team versus that team, and in some way I'm being pulled into their circle when I turn on the radio. Those are like my friends. Like I'm alone at home. I miss my buddies around the
right.
dinner table. Here they all are, and now we're all talking.
Right, right. Yep. We're talking to Eric Bogosian in studio. I think that's right, and there's a lot of that team orientation now with politics. There's people that don't even take into mind any sort of policy or anything other than they identify with a side, and that's it. It's got nothing to do with anything.
Well, let me ask you something, Maren.
Yeah.
If George W. Bush tomorrow were to capture Osama bin Laden, straighten out the mess in Iraq, fix the economy,
yeah.
would you vote for him?
No.
and the right thinks they have the moral high ground, and the left thinks that they have the intellectual high ground or something, and that the two sides are kind of... they're never going to acknowledge the other side. I mean, I had somebody sit next to me in a plane the other day, and she was just completely a Bush person. I mean, that was what she was into. And I said, but what about what's going on with the war? And she said, well, we had to go get those terrorists. And I just realized I was just going to drop down a deep, empty void if I started this with her, because she believes the whole...
Yeah.
thing, and she doesn't want to go there, and you can sit here and you can prove it and pick it, and the minute you start proving it, you start showing yourself to be one of these smart asses.
Yeah.
And they don't like smart
yeah,
asses.
Yeah, you're just spinning it,
yeah.
liberal guy.
You're one of those smart ass kind of people that I didn't like in high school and I still don't like, and so screw you, I'm going to vote for Bush.
It's
the
jocks,
nice people like me.
The jocks' resentment of the nerds.
And we have it both ways. I mean, we're not without sin this side of the fence, I don't think.
Well, I don't know.
Because we're know-it-alls.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
know-it-all
yeah.
is also obnoxious.
Is there something wrong with being
very obnoxious? Let's ask. Barry's got a question. Barry, how are you?
Good morning.
In Ohio.
Hey. In Ohio.
Quickly, for Eric Bogosian.
Yes, I was just wondering how he feels about, at least how I perceive, Senator Kerry's kind of passive philosophy with regard to, quote, attacking, unquote, President Bush and not taking a more aggressive high road. It just seems like he's kind of a passive lake. Or do you think he'll get a little stronger as it gets closer to Election Day?
Okay, thanks a lot, Barry.
Well, me personally, I have no... I mean, I'm not a tactician as far as this stuff goes.
wing it. What
they're discovering these days is that it's like when you're boxing. The minute you jab, you're open, right? And
yeah.
so he doesn't want to make a jab because he'll get open. He's just being conservative for the time being. I think he's also thinking he gives Bush enough rope, he's going to hang himself. And, you know, events will lead us to that over the next couple of months.
Well, you know, I think best case scenario, John Kerry is like Smarty Jones. Yeah. Nobody knew who he was 2 weeks before the Derby.
He's a
band.
Yeah. We'll be right back with Eric Bogosian. Your calls, call 866-303-2270, and, of course, the Liberal Agenda here on Air America Radio.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free Better Sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
Who is it?
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza Man.
Hey, you're not the Pizza Man. You're the cable guy again.
Price Patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice Cream Man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza Man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call 800-264-0071. That's 800-264-0071 for new customers only. Annual programming commitment required. Ask how you can get your first 6 months for only $29.99 a month, a $60 value. Offer ends July 17th. Call now, 800-264-0071.
As a business leader, do you need more time to focus on your core business without ignoring your employees? GEM Human Resources is your solution. GEM HR will handle all of the human resource and safety outsourcing services that your organization needs. Payroll processing, benefit administration, HR compliance issues, OSHA safety administration, recruiting, and more. All at a cost that's less than you're paying today. With our team managing your human resource priorities, your team can focus on what's really important, your business. GEM HR combines state-of-the-art technology with experienced professionals to efficiently develop, implement, and maintain your human resource needs. You'll increase your productivity and grow your business. Contact GEM HR today at 610-975-9995 or on the web at GEMHR.com. At GEM HR, we believe happy employees are your company's greatest asset.
Mark Maron here on Morning Sedition in the final stages of this morning's broadcast of Us with Mark Riley, Sue Ellicott. Eric Bogosian is joining us here in the studio. We're having a nice conversation about things, and we're taking your calls. Chris in Missouri, how are you? Chris.
I just wanted to say that, you know, there are some radio hosts that you listen to get your blood going a little bit, and others that are just so far beyond anything believable that it just makes you nauseous. But then again, I am an avowed BBC nerd, so thank you, Sirius Satellite.
Okay.
Because I listen to you folks in the BBC.
So, okay, all right, so we're not either making you nauseous or making your blood boil.
No, you guys, you're funny, but you're informative.
Oh, that's okay.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's nice. We'll use that as a blurb.
Informative is good.
Yeah.
Informative.
Thanks
is good.
For calling from.
There's
going to
be some reason why people are tuning in. They're either going to get a laugh out of it, or they're going to get information, or they're going to
get
something.
Pissed.
Yeah.
Or they're
going to get pissed. Right.
Why do you listen to Air America?
I guess I'm sharpening up my mind against your minds. You know, I'm thinking, oh, they think that, I think that. Right, I was thinking that yesterday. It's as if I'm sort of debating with you. I guess I talk to you. I yell at the radio while I'm listening.
Yeah. Shut up. That's sophomoric. Yeah. You ever say that?
Well, the best.
What is it? Puerile?
Puerile.
There was one. This is completely off the topic of politics, but Janine was talking about the second Charlie's Angels movie, and she said, why would anybody want to be in that movie or have anything to do with it? Well, I was in that movie. I was a dead guy in that movie. So I was like yelling at that video, shut up, Janine. And who'd want to be in Mystery Men? So, you know.
Hey, I would say a good paycheck. Dead is fine.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Time out.
I paid the rent.
Time out. Let me do a gratuitous promo
for Janine
Majority Report.
Yeah.
Tonight, Janine Garofalo and Sam Cedar will be joined by literary journalist Ron Rosenbaum, writer for the New York Times Magazine, the New York Observer, and Esquire, and author of the best-selling book, Explaining Hitler, The Search for the Origins of His Evil. That's tonight at 8 p.m.
The origins of his evil was maybe in his singular testicle.
Okay, I would like to see Eric as one of the angels in the third Charlie's Angel movie. Now, that I
would see. Yes. Do drag?
Yeah, it's coming. Yeah. I'll call up.
I like that one when you win the Seagal movie.
Yeah,
and
well,
that was
thank
me.
You.
I mean, that
thank
was,
you very
I love evil stuff.
And that was a real lefty kind of movie, too. That was I'm very proud of that, that effort. Yeah.
Wonderland I watched the other night. That was an interesting character.
Yes.
There's the facts from the Streisand compound. It's our liberal agenda for today. Get your notebooks and pens. Here's your marching orders. One, push to change name of local school from Thomas Jefferson Elementary to Abu Ghraib Memorial Learning Center of Shame. Two, pass out millions of plastic leaflets on recycling. Three, condemn the Sopranos for perpetuating Italian stereotypes and hang out with the cast at swank showbiz parties. Four, hand out biodegradable syringes to addicts. That's nice. Five, change the movie rating system from G, PG, and R to cool. Profanity is protected by the First Amendment and a long overdue depiction of adult sexuality. That's it for today. Thank you, Eric Bogosian, for being with us. Had a great morning.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun. And again, listen tonight, 8 o'clock, Janine Garofalo, Sam Cedar, and the Majority Report coming up on tomorrow's morning's edition. We got some interesting people coming up here, Maron. Are you going to be able to handle this?
I'm trying, man.
All right. Professor George Lakoff joins us to decode the secret language that shapes the way you think about politics. Plus, from Spinal Tap, the National Lampoon, and his latest book, Father Joe, we've got the legendary Tony Hendra. That's tomorrow's morning's edition here on Air America Radio.
Sales like this don't happen every day, just Thursday through Monday. It's the Memorial Day sale at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Save 30% on all our high-quality paints and stains, including Everclean and Super Pink Interior in our plastic twist and pour container. And save 30 to 64% on all wallpaper, too. Stop in and take advantage of the long weekend. Sale ends Monday. Ask how? Ask now. Ask Sherwin-Williams. For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hey, it's summertime, all right, and all that summer sun and heat you're taking in right now can really dry out your lips. So here's a little tip to help keep lips moisturized and protected. ChapStick Lip Moisturizer. That's right, ChapStick Lip Moisturizer's got SPF 15 and 10 moisturizers, like aloe and vitamin E, to moisturize summer-dried lips and help keep them feeling great. Because summertime is ChapStick time, too. Use as directed.
You're listening to 1190 WLIV New York, the flagship station of Air America Radio.